It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Jolie O'Dell joins us, John C. Dvorak, and Becky Worley to talk about the sad end of Dig, the future of Amazon.com, and Kate Middleton's wedding dress. It's all next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech. Episode 362, recorded July 15th, 2012. You took the fruitiness right out of the loops. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. It just takes a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into high-definition video conferencing. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code TWIT. And by FreshBooks, the easy online invoicing app for small businesses that saves time and gets you paid faster. Join over 3.5 million FreshBooks users and try the service free for 30 days of unlimited use at FreshBooks.com. Be sure to let them know you heard about it on TWiT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or Android smartphone from your home or office. Find out what your gadget is worth at Gazelle.com. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT7. And don't forget to get your free domain registration with annual plan subscription. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech with the best, the best panel in the history of the world. And I tell you this now so that you can get your television turned on, you can get your VCR fired up, and you can press record, because you are going to want to save this for ever and ever. Starting over all the way to the left, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
That's me.
Dvorak.org/blog.
Right.
Welcome back. No stripes on the shirt, just plain gray.
No, it's not plain. I got different things and I got red underneath.
Oh, yeah, it's two-tone. Yeah. It's a little British spread collar. I should, for the audio listeners, people, they often complain, hey, we don't watch, so could you please describe John's wardrobe? Yeah. He's wearing a red T-shirt with a spread collar, two-toned gray and light gray shirt with the initials JCS on it.
JCS.
That's cursive writing.
It's monogrammed.
Leo. It is.
It's really beautiful.
You get that. It's a no extra charge at the Lai Lai Taylor in Taipei.
Is this your Hong Kong or your Taipei Taylor?
I do not want to hear Hotel. About your Asian trips.
No. John's famous for this. His Asian trips.
I have some good tailors.
That is Becky Worley sitting next to John C. Dvorak. That is always a risk.
Yes.
Becky from Good Morning America at B. Worley on Twitter. So nice
Thank
to
you.
See you again.
So great to be with you guys.
Sorry, I just had to get Thanks. That bug out from in front of you.
There's a gnat.
I attract no flies.
Becky is also not a claim to fame, really, a claim to enigma name mini. How do you pronounce that? Amontillado?
Amontadidodado.
Becky is the original producer of the Screensavers and Call for Help, so she gets credit for both.
Yep. Leo wrote my recommendation to grad school. I've known you a long time.
Long
I slept
time.
In a sleeping bag on the floor of your house once.
It's yeah.
That will not be discussed.
Becky's the greatest. It's great to have you back. Also back with us from VentureBeat, Jolie O'Dell. Hello, Jolie. Good
Hello,
to see
Leo.
You.
Leo. Lovely to be seen.
Yes, thank you. I saw in your blog that you'll no longer bring us baked goods, and I'm chagrined and saddened.
Well,
by
I
that.
Almost brought you some today. The recipe is called Slutty Brownies. But since we have a lady here today, I figured I'd rein it in a little
You
bit.
Really couldn't blame me if I had said something about that.
No, I couldn't.
Wow.
What Just makes them slutty fate. Out of curiosity?
Well, they're filthy and easy. That's what the internet told me about
makes
the
it
recipe.
Makes a mess.
It does. Well, it's a layer of chocolate chip cookie dough, a layer of double stuffed Oreos, and then you pour brownie batter on top of that and bake it for a half hour. So they come out warm and gooey and really bad for you, kind of like, well, never mind.
Slutty brownies.
Yeah, slutty brownies.
So, top story. You know what? I think we should...
This is going to be so good.
It's
Jolie's
be,
just got
problems.
Stuck in the traffic. Leo busted
problems.
Out the booze.
It's going to be so ugly.
You can see problems coming, can't you?
Well, drink up, sir.
It's actually a good week for that because the news is not particularly compelling. But I will start. I'm going to number.
Really, meat and potatoes.
Yeah, it's very basic stuff.
Yeah. All
so
right,
I expect you guys to dress it up.
Let's hit it hard.
Put a little Oreo cookie layer on top. Apple, story one, Apple gives developers fully baked Mountain Lion. Get ready. Apple's going to, if there were a race, which there isn't, but if there were a race between Windows 8 and the next version of OS X, Apple would win by several lengths. This month, I guess, July, before the end of the month, they expect to ship the latest version of OS X.
Okay, very quickly, what are you excited about?
The couple of things that I think are not exciting, but of newsworthy. One is the continued iOSification of the desktop. Mm-hmm. And this is a trend on both Windows and Apple's OS X, which is...
Ossification makes sense.
Ossification. They want to turn these things into tablets.
There.
And the thing that bugs me, and I'm curious what you guys think, the real trend is toward full-screen apps, which makes sense on a tablet with a small screen. It makes sense even on an 11-inch Air, which I have in front of me. But on my 27-inch iMac,
it's
nutty.
It's a disaster. Who needs a big, giant app on the thing? You can't shrink it.
You can't.
No, it's a throwback. It's a throwback to DOS.
Mm-mm. Inmates running the asylum, nobody has that monitor.
Oh, really? Everybody has small monitors.
Bull crap. I've got it. My wife's got it. My son's got one. Everybody in our family has a 27-inch
You're
monitor.
You're the only people I know.
No. He's people. Got one. That's... Anybody in their right mind who's ever had access to a 27-inch monitor will buy one. They're not expensive. And they're great. And I think that anyone that's over the age of 40, when their eyesight starts going, they're all going to be buying 27-inch monitors. So this is bucking the trend.
I think that you're already in the tent. What's the point? So you'll use a fully
Windows
baked
7.
Application.
You'll use Windows 7 is what you'll do. You won't go to Windows 8.
And then Windows 9.
And skip over.
Yeah.
If Windows 9. No, see, I think Microsoft's made the move. I don't think Microsoft's going backwards.
They're
going
to get it.
You think they'll have to?
The feedback. It's going to be very negative.
We are headed towards, I think, a car wreck. What do you think, Jolie? You're the one person sitting at the table using Windows right now. By the way, on a very nice...
Yeah, I use Windows.
And I love this little thing.
Well, we all use it, but we're not using it right now. She is.
I am.
Oh.
And I'm using Windows 7, and I do like it. I tried out Windows 8 on another one of my Windows laptops, and I didn't love it, and I don't think that it's going to go over too very well in the enterprise. It's a little bit fluffy and a little bit distracting, and I think that's where Microsoft really, they need to get people on board. And I think the enterprise is going to wait for Windows 9, and maybe that'll be a little bit more pared down, a little less, ooh, look at our flashy tiles and all this great design, and maybe a little more business-friendly.
What is stimulating this move, though, towards making your desktop applications look like tablet applications, this full-screen thing? Is it the success of the iPad that everybody wants to emulate? Why are we seeing that?
Well, for so long, people have associated Apple products with great design, right? And I think Microsoft is doing their darndest to beat that assumption, you know, that only Apple can make well-designed things.
Did you like the Surface? Did you look at the Surface and get excited?
I didn't. I never get excited about anything. You should know better. No, I don't really care about the Surface. I think it's going to do fine. But they're not planning on selling very many, just a couple million, a few million.
Really?
This
is not a big part of their business going forward?
I don't believe so.
So what is it, a reference design to inspire the OEMs? Why are they doing it?
I don't know.
Why would you do something that's only
going to... I am going to explain why
they're
doing it.
Please, explain to me.
Please, John.
Microsoft has a long-term strategy based on the Apple stores. They've got 26 stores now. They're going to eventually roll out... Apple's got over 300. They're going to eventually roll out store after store after store. People have to realize that the Apple store makes more money per square foot than any retailer, including Tiffany's, in history.
Yeah. $473,000 per employee.
And Microsoft has noticed this, and they're basically copying the stores. Per se, they're going to roll out a tablet. They're going to roll out a branded computer. They're going to roll out Microsoft this and Microsoft that. And it has to be high design. And that's the reason the Surface is over-designed. And they're going to move stuff through the store because they got the Xbox, the next Xbox. They've got a bunch of things they can sell in those stores, and they're going retail big. And that's what the real backroom strategy is. And you'll see it probably roll out in the next 4 or 5 years completely, and people will finally realize what happened and the reason that the Surface came out and why it is designed the way it is, because it's designed to be shown to somebody.
In fact, they have said, we will not sell this. And I thought it was to protect OEMs like Lenovo and Dell and Samsung and HP. They've said, we will not sell this in retail. We'll only sell it at Microsoft stores, at our own retail.
Yeah.
That's it. This is to drive people to the
this
stores.
This is
well,
the beginning of the of Microsoft.
They look just like Apple stores.
No, they look much more beautiful and colorful, I think. And I think if you look at the Microsoft retail stores, you can see what their vision is for retail, and it's absolutely gorgeous. But I
where
just,
is a Microsoft store? There's not one in San Francisco.
There's one in Palo Alto.
Yes, there is. There's one in, they made me drive down to the
Bellevue Mall.
Mall,
I'm sure.
It's in a mall.
Palo Alto's got one. There's a big mall.
Yeah, University.
And I do believe they are opening one in the city.
Well, I apologize because I've never been. I've only seen pictures. But to me, the pictures, the blonde wood, the open spaces, lots of glass,
Guru
the genius bar.
No, Guru.
Pardon me.
Guru.
The Guru bar. It looks a lot like an Apple store to me.
It is a lot like an
John,
Apple store.
John, I think you're on crack because this just seems like it's totally out of left field given that. I mean,
not paying attention. That's the reason you think it's out of left field.
Okay, that's fine. You are always very insightful and have a long view, and sometimes you're right. Sometimes.
Twice.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, I've just been thinking about this week. Microsoft is a software company. Like, let's not forget that. Isn't that
They've
always...
They've forgotten it.
Oh, no, that's
know,
long over... The,
I know,
you know why,
the
Becky?
Xbox 360
you know
is it's not
the,
a software.
True. That's true. That's the one exception.
I'm going to tell you exactly
well,
why.
Now we have Surface.
The lines have crossed. So there was there's a good graph, and I think it was on the Asimco blog where they show profits from hardware and software. John said this all the time. Whose wallet would you rather have, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs? And for a long time, Bill Gates and software were making lots more money than hardware. That line crossed last year. Apple is now more profitable than Microsoft. Hardware, no, you know, the Asimco blog asserts, and I think this is a good way of putting it, that the days of expensive software on cheap hardware are over. That the future is cheap software on expensive hardware.
Totally agree
model.
With you. Well, totally agree with you. And the thing is, though, and sorry, Julie.
Just, no, go right ahead.
I'm just keep thinking about this and tell me if I'm wrong. Is, okay, Amazon's making hardware so they can sell you stuff or
right.
books
As
or
is,
media.
And Google, too.
Google is trying to sell you advertising.
Okay.
Microsoft is not sure what it's trying to sell you, and Apple is trying to sell you hardware. And so, fundamentally, I think Microsoft is confused.
But what,
Amazon is well poised to sell
seeing.
You stuff.
You're seeing Microsoft, instead of being active, they're being reactive. Instead of being
and
proactive.
And this is new?
And what they've always done this. And what they're it's this Apple jealousy. They're saying Apple's doing so well with
right.
the stores, we got to have stores.
Right.
Apple's doing so well with hardware, we got to have hardware. And it's
That's not focus.
You know, I have to say, and don't tell Paul Theroux I said this, but I think this is the, and please don't tell Jolie O'Dell I said this, but I think this is the worst run company since RIM.
Well, that's
since
funny.
Come off it. That isn't true at all. If they're running it so badly, then how come they're still making so much money? How come
inertia.
Most normal people
inertia.
Outside of Silicon Valley are running Windows on their PCs? They're not running around with, you know, expensive Macs and 27-inch monitors.
It's pure inertia, and then and the trend is not their friend, and this is why Microsoft's panicking.
Well, that's why they are getting ahead, and their panic, if there is panic, it's a good thing because it's making them better designers, and it's making them more innovative in the software and hardware, and I think that those two things are just getting fused. Back in the day when I started with computers, you could put any software you wanted to on your hardware, and today, I don't think the average consumer sees those two things as things that you can split
You're
apart.
Right.
It's like
You're
your
right.
soul and your body, they go together.
Alan Kay always said, you want to make great software, you got to make the
right.
hardware.
Well, now, and then Google was a software company once upon a time, and then they are getting so far in bed with hardware that they now make this Nexus Q device. That's their first branded hardware. And, oh, my Lord, have you seen
that? It's not
that?
Their
that's
first.
Just silly
it's pretty
well,
bad.
Yeah, it's weird. I have one at my house, and I can't figure out what the heck to
There's
do
no
with
point.
It.
There's no point.
I've got one sitting around.
Cricket,
it's like,
oh.
We could play cricket with it. It's
right.
a fun, or make a wonderful
dog toy.
Croquet ball.
Can I just circle back from what Jolie was saying and what you were saying? So you're saying they want to go into retail, but do you think that's good, bad, long-term, cohesive, or do you think
I have been a huge fan of the retail concept that was essentially developed and perfected by the car manufacturers since the days that they had a dealership.
Aren't those all franchises, though? They're not owned.
No, it's a combination. It's like McDonald's used to be.
Okay.
But yeah, even so.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. The point is that you control the sales pitch. And the problem with CompUSA and computer, the problem was that when Computerland got so big, it screwed things up. Started with the Byte Shop, went to Computerland, then we went to...
Look at Best Buy. What's happening to Best Buy?
They're dying.
They're dying.
Because there's just a mess in there. But when you went
no,
to CompUSA...
No, because everybody's buying on Amazon, and I'm going to tell you in story number two why. Go ahead.
Okay, well, they might be buying on Amazon, but you can't deny that the Apple Store, they're buying there a lot.
Oh, huge.
So they're going to...
But it's the exception that proves the rule, isn't it?
And, well, quick sidebar, have you seen the new Samsung stores?
Baffled me with that one.
Well, isn't it? I mean, no, seriously. I mean, yes, Apple's doing well. Everybody else is doing poorly. Does that mean retail is on the upswing or the downswing?
Here's let me get back to the point.
And the reason Apple did this is because you had to be able to see Apple hardware because nobody was showing it. You go to Best Buy and it'd be a dusty thing
so
in the corner.
They have a little Apple segment.
They
of
do,
Best.
And it's crap.
Okay.
And so Apple said, and I know this is what happened, Steve Jobs said, no, the only way we're ever going to sell is by having our own retail where we can highlight our products in an appropriate way. That's the right motivation. Microsoft's motivation is the wrong motivation.
Best Buy feels like Ross dressed for less compared to the Apple store.
The reason you want these stores is so you can control the sales pitch. That's the only reason.
I agree.
Your guy comes in, you got everybody trained to sell one thing, your products.
Right.
You go to CompUSA, whoever's buying, who's bribing you the most, the spiff you get from this guy, oh, buy this. Everyone says it's junk. No, it's great.
I agree.
I think you're right, and I think people don't trust the employees as much for their knowledge in those bigger superstores, electronic superstores, than as they do in an Apple store. They feel like Apple's attention to detail on product is transferring to the employees who are going to help you.
When's the last time you've been, you guys all must agree with this, you go in an Apple store, it's chaotic because it's so popular.
Yeah, I see a lot of guys standing around doing nothing.
I can't remember the last time I went in one because I don't use their products.
You should just go just to slum.
No, I went when Mr. Jobs passed. I went to an Apple store to be a reporter and man on the street type interviews.
That it's not going to be as chaotic.
Oh, it was absolutely mobbed. It was mobbed, but then it always is. Every time you walk by and
it's
downtown
mobbed.
Or in Palo Alto, it's all these people with their sticky fingers touching things, and I just hate it.
Let's take a look at this poorly run company that you just brought up. $73 billion in revenue last year.
You're talking
about Microsoft?
Gross profit, $54 billion from 73 in sales.
It's inertia.
Total cash, $58 billion.
Yeah, but it's going down. And I got to tell you.
It's not going down. The numbers are up.
I can give you data point after data point. of
You are just part of the propaganda machine that is trying
to... It's true. And you know what? It does not matter what any PR machine says about anything. The money will talk and the money will continue to talk. And I do not think it's correct to say that their profits are going down. In fact, as I recall, they had a record quarter last time
they
covered their earnings
they
call.
They did. Now, they're going down relative to Apple is what I'm saying.
Apple just happens to be blooming. Now, let's take a look at the hit piece done in Vanity Fair just came out on Ballmer.
$6.5 billion write down. For Quantiv.
Total.
Yeah, well, that was a blunder. It was a complete idiotic move.
That's a $6.5 billion blunder. That's years ago.
The fact that it's just...
I'll give you more. No, I got data points galore. You announce a Windows Phone 8 while you're still trying to sell Windows Phone 7.
Idiots.
And you tell people, no upgrade for you.
You can't
that's
upgrade
because they're making money
insanity.
Hand over fist. They can afford to make all these blunders.
Well, at this... Okay, at some point... That's what I'm saying. They are making money hand over fist. It's inertia. At some point, mismanagement is going to kill this company. Maybe they'll survive just like IBM out of inertia. But they are poorly managed right now. That's the only point I'm making.
It does seem
disjointed.
Well,
what about the fact that they continue and they're making more and more beautifully designed products that consumers are getting excited about?
What's the screen resolution on the Surface? We don't know. When's
we
the Surface
care.
Available?
Your
wait a minute. Somebody cares.
Your
when's the Surface
on the
available?
Street does not care.
When's the Surface available? We don't know. What's the price of the Surface? We don't know.
Are they
has
making
anybody
a phone?
Held a Surface? No.
I don't know.
This is a made up product that has no real existence, and you're going crazy
no,
over
no,
it.
No, I'm not saying the Surface. I'm saying Windows 8 and Windows Phone and the
Windows
integration
8
between
will be
Windows 8 and Windows
vastly
phone.
Rejected by the marketplace. Watch, mark my words. You've said it yourself, John.
I have said this from the get go.
So, what is Microsoft doing so right?
Apparently making lots of money. I think they have enterprise.
Inertia.
There's a lot of...
It's TikTok, so they keep coming back.
We'll see.
When they
we'll
have see. One really bad quarter, then I'm... Well, you can't really short them because the stock has been dead money for a decade.
And I think the stock market knows that they're really... That this is
no,
a,
they're
this is
like
a
you. They all see it the way you see it, which is like, these guys are idiots. But meanwhile, they keep making more and more money. They get no credit for it. They got no charisma. Ballmer's getting hit. I'm telling you, you got to look at this Vanity Fair piece. They brought out Stack Ranking, which is one of the worst possible management...
Microsoft's defense on this is, we're not the only company doing it.
You know, right?
So what do you say about
Stack Ranking? What is Stack Ranking?
Stack Ranking and is done. In fact, I put a call out for people who, and I'm going to put it out again right here on the show. Anyone whose company does stack or forced ranking, which is a technique used by HR departments, please get a hold of me.
The easiest way to describe this is Survivor. Only
you get voted off the island.
You get voted off the island.
No matter how good you are,
if you're the lowest ranking performance employee, that's it.
I'm under the impression, and somebody's going to have to correct this, that Hebold, when he came in as the COO at Microsoft in the late 90s, brought it over from Procter & Gamble. And Ballmer was very amenable to it because he's an ex-Procter & Gamble guy. Apparently, they did it there. They've done it at General Electric. It was popularized by Jack Welch, who brought it up at General Electric and took credit. They gave credit to Forrest Ranking, which also said, I want to fire 10% of the entire company every year, which he did for a decade, meaning he turned over the entire company, probably getting rid of a lot of good people in the process. It was dropped immediately after Welch got kicked out. And Welch, by the way, gives Stacked Ranking credit for GE's big growth spurt during the Reagan administration when the economy had turned around, and he was a defense contractor. Anybody would have made money. So, I mean, the whole thing is a huge scam, and it's ruining American business. And the reason we're in a depression is because of it.
So you just keep proving my point, John. You keep coming up with things Microsoft's not doing very well. Now, by the way, one of the complaints about the way Microsoft's doing Stack Ranking is that it doesn't seem to be metrics-based. It seems to be politically
based. Oh, yeah. No, you have to. If you're my buddy, we're in business together.
We make a deal, a survivor-style deal.
Exactly. I give you a one. You give me a one. Oh, Jolie, you get a five. You're out.
Oh, damn.
So you could see why this is problematic. I think there's some structural problems as a company as well. They have a lot of internecine warfare.
Stack Ranking has made all the real talented people in Microsoft, they all either left, they quit, and the way it works is that you get these low ratings and you're given a choice. We think you're going to have to improve. If you don't improve, we're going to fire you. But we'll give you an easy out. We'll give you some money if you quit.
So, John, how is it that Microsoft's still making so much money?
Okay, I know what you're trying to do here.
I made my
points.
How is it Microsoft's doing so well then?
That would take a while, and I don't think this is the Microsoft
show. It's
inertia.
Isn't it?
It's not inertia. You've got to stop
saying
that.
It used to be the Twitter show.
I know. We don't have anything to talk
about. Whatever's
hot.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, story number two. Why Amazon.
Facepalm.
What?
A whole segment, a whole block is devoted to one story because you hate Microsoft.
And it wasn't even a story. We were just arguing about whether or not Leo thinks Microsoft is cool.
It's not about coolness. I think Microsoft is very cool.
Wow, this is going to be the craziest show ever because I am like the nicest person
coolness.
Here.
It's about,
which is so unusual.
It's not about coolness.
Me.
I think that it's time to start to wake up and stop enabling Microsoft. This is a very poorly run company, a company that can't manage its corporate communications, that can't seem to strategize its way out of a paper bag. The Zune, Windows 8 fiasco, Windows Phone 8 fiasco. It's fiasco after fiasco. Sure, you're a mega company with lots of revenue because of historic success, but in the long run, you cannot continue to misrun this company and survive.
Now, here's the problem I see. What are you going to who are you going to replace Ballmer with?
Oh, pick a name out of a bag, honey.
I don't think it's that easy. You can't just waltz in and run a $79 billion company.
Try me.
Well, I
could do a great job.
No, I think, and this is what you've said for years, John, and you're arguing against me in counter-argument.
I can take both sides of the
argument. I can't even tell which argument you guys are on.
You said this. But the Microsoft really needs to be divided up. They are multiple companies.
Four companies.
Yeah. And that's the real problem. They can never succeed as long as they're warring within each other. They need to have an Xbox entertainment media company.
Right.
They need to have a desktop operating systems company.
Enterprise
middleware company. I mean, they have good products in all these categories.
Yeah.
By the way, an interesting thing. We had a great interview, which if you haven't seen it on Triangulation on Wednesday, with Nolan Bushnell, founder of Atari, guy who pays close attention to the gaming business, as you might imagine, who he says, you know, the consoles are tapped out. You're not going to see, even though Microsoft has announced it's doing an Xbox, whatever, 720 next year. He said, you've got as far as you can go with consoles.
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of people think that's an interesting point of view.
And if that's true, that's bad news for Microsoft as well. That's a big part of their revenue.
And try telling that to the hardcore gamers.
They play on PCs now, don't they?
Mm. Well, some of them do, and a lot of them play on consoles as well. Multiple consoles, even.
Well, Microsoft hopes to transition the Xbox into a home entertainment center that is used as a streaming center.
Exactly why, by the way.
Roku,
they see the writing on the wall.
And they'll probably buy Roku. There's a prediction for you.
There's a good one.
I like that one. Mm-hmm. Roku's nice.
All right. Story
nice
two coming up, why Amazon is about to devour the world.
Mm, I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I got one on this one, too, that will blow your mind.
I can't wait.
People.
I can't wait. Mm. But first, a word from our friends at Citrix, the folks who do the great go-to meeting. All it takes is it's summertime, right? Everybody's away. They're on vacation. They're traveling. Maybe you just like to leave work a little bit early. Those meetings still have to happen. You know, I got a little flack because I've missed two, three, maybe four staff meetings in a row. Mm. Yeah, well, it's summertime. I want to go. I want to, you know, so go to meeting. That's the solution. In fact, that's, I think, what we're going to do from now on. Go to meeting. Of course, you've known for years, online meetings software that lets you share your screen with people. Now you could share your video too, the HD faces on GoToMeeting. Fantastic. All you need is a webcam, and you just click and you'll turn that online meeting into a high definition video conference. Video looks fantastic, and here's the best part. You can use an iPad, the camera, the audio. You don't even need a phone line to not only join a conference, but to broadcast your video back. So your attendees can meet in the way that's most convenient to them, no matter where they are. It is very cool. I invite you to try it. Show your colleagues, your clients, your boss. Go to meeting.com. Click the try it free button. Use the promo code TWIT and get the free iPad app. There it is right there. Click that button. TWIT is the promo code. Get the free iPad app. There's an iPhone app that lets you, you can listen. They have not yet put the camera in the iPhone app. I think that's just a matter of time. Face-to-face meetings when they're a world away. It's gotomeeting.com. Click the try it free button, promo code TWIT, for 30 days free. I think you're going to like it. It's really beautiful video. Now, John has gotten up and gone away. So what do we think? Should we, what should we do? Short sheet is a chair?
Whoopee cushion.
Whoopee cushion?
Mm.
Maybe we could, I don't know.
Jalapenos in his aquavit or whatever this is that we're drinking.
What do you think?
I don't know.
You don't like it? I got other stuff.
I get nervous that you never know how he's going to react. That's the problem. He might totally freak out. See that smile? See how genuine that was?
Totally.
And he's back.
ChannelDvorak.com. Jolie O'Dell from VentureBeat. Great to have you.
Lovely to be here.
Even though you didn't bring us slutty brownies, I'm happy.
Whatever.
Now you're going to complain.
And the fabulous Becky Worley.
I'm going to say I'm from Yahoo now.
Oh, yeah. You know, I should give you credit for Yahoo.
Yeah, I do the Yahoo.
What do you do at Yahoo?
What do you do at Yahoo?
I am the Martha Stewart of technology is what I've been dubbed as at Yahoo.
Do you have any sense? I mean, you're a contractor. You're not an employee.
I don't speak for Yahoo, but I have lots of good thoughts about them.
Do you have a sense? I mean, the CEO hunt has just gone down the tubes.
I understand they use stack ranking there, too. Seriously.
Oh, God. I've never heard of that in the
around.
Trenches.
Do me a favor.
At the studio. I've never heard
around.
Of that.
Ask around.
But, yeah, no, the CEO thing's going interesting. Ross Levinson's there right now, and he's a good guy.
He's
going
to get the job, isn't he?
Because I hope so.
Who was the guy who said, yeah, I don't really
Jason
want
it. Kilar. But the funny thing is, if he'd taken the job, then who would be a good candidate for his job? Ross Levinson.
Oh, you're funny.
No, it's true.
CEO musical chairs. He's, where's he the CEO?
Who?
Kilar?
Hulu. Yeah, Hulu. Yeah. No,
Hulu.
I mean, listen, everybody loves to bang
when you
on
said
Yahoo.
Who, did you... Were you thinking
Hulu?
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 Okay.
Hulu? It's like that. It wasn't.
Hulu.
It's the premiere of China. Who? What?
Who's on first?
No, I mean, listen, Yahoo has problems, but Yahoo News, I love it. I love working there. It serves people's needs. It may not serve the type of people who always want to write about tech and be on the cutting edge, but the numbers are there. It's a fire hose. I love it.
And change your password.
Yeah. That.
How many passwords did
450,000, a million on Fandroid. Where else did we see a big breach this week? There were a bunch.
And these people are, what's sad, besides the fact that there are breaches, is they're not storing these in any secure fashion.
They don't seem to care.
Now, LinkedIn, 6.5 million passwords. Yahoo, 450,000 passwords. It just goes on and on. Back to Sony a year ago.
I know.
You should change your password as soon as you hear of a breach.
On every
Well, you should be
server.
Using something like 1Password right. to manage your passwords right. like an adult.
And do not, only adults use 1Pass.
Never children.
And not, probably the kids do better. And then probably. Don't use the same password on a bunch of sites because if one site gets hacked, you're in
trouble. Unless you don't care.
Well, I have tiers. I have high security, mid security, low security passwords.
Oh, brother.
I have a system, John. And then I use, you know I use password stacking, you know, which is Steve's.
Password stacking?
The symbol stacking.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haystacks, he calls them.
Yeah, haystacks.
Password haystacks. So actually, this is a good technique. So you have a password for a site, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and then you pad it because it turns out length is very critical in the ability to brute force passwords.
Right.
And your pad could be standardized. It could be a zip code interspersed with commas.
Although symbols are best.
Symbols are very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Numbers not as good because the variables are less.
They're fewer.
Yeah.
So the best is like a like percent sign, dollar sign, A, B, 3.
Right.
Right.
Bracket.
So
that's a good example of Yahoo. So I took Steve's research on haystacking, or what do you call it, password haystacking, turned it into one of my Yahoo episodes, cited Security Now, and we did 2 million views.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't do, you know, that's the difference. That's what Yahoo is.
Yeah. We got about 20,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So Farhad Manju, writing in Slate, I know I love it, on Wednesday, talks about the Amazon's new strategy, which I think that he's got it right on, John. Let me see if this is what you were talking about.
Yeah, same. This is what's going to happen. Yeah.
So Amazon got in a big fight with the state of California last year because, of course, Amazon doesn't collect sales tax. Now, I should point this out. Some people say it doesn't charge sales tax. They don't collect it. You still owe sales tax on all purchases in California and most states.
Yes.
You owe what's called a use tax. You're supposed to, April 15th, tell California how much you spent.
Right, and apparently everyone's always spent nothing.
That's amazing. And I don't know, maybe there's no enforcement, or maybe it's just too hard.
No, it's impossible to enforce.
I do too.
Yeah?
I do too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm an honest person.
You are.
But most people, apparently California loses billions, they think, anyway.
They think.
They don't know. So last year they passed a bill. Jerry Brown signed it into law saying, oh, guess what, Yahoo, you'll pay, you'll collect. See, I did it. It's not that Yahoo's or Amazon's paying taxes. They're merely collecting our tax from us.
Right.
But the brick-and-mortar retailers have long felt this is an unfair advantage.
And they're the ones behind this. They're the ones who harass the state. You guys, it's unfair to us.
So guess what? Big mistake. Unintended consequence here. So Amazon made a deal with the state of California. All right, we're going to not collect sales tax for another year, but in a year we will. And meanwhile, they're making lemon. Out of this lemonade. Or is it lemonade out of this lemon?
Mm-hmm. The latter.
Yeah, the latter. They're making slutty brownies out of this lemon because they are saying, well, if we're going to be doing business in a state and have to collect sales tax, we might as well do business in the state. And they are building distribution centers in all the major metros. And guess what? Amazon's going to start next day and sometimes same day delivery for Amazon customers.
Right. And which I mean, I'm sure the Prime people... You'll be getting some amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So now, instead of having to go to Walmart.
This is the point.
I did it this weekend. Birthday party. I got to have the birthday present.
Destroy Walmart. That's your target. They're the big jerks that made this happen.
Okay by me.
Well, that's okay. Target. Target also.
The realization that Amazon has made is that, no, maybe it's not the fact that we don't charge sales tax that causes people to use us. It's the fact that we're convenient.
And if the selection is better.
The selection's better, the prices are good, and we're convenient. If you could get the delivery, what is the advantage brick and mortar has? I get it now. I go there, I pick it up. But I have to get in my car. I have to drive to Walmart.
You have to put on pants.
No. What if I could get it, soon?
Sans pants.
And so by putting these distribution centers in urban metros, they're already doing this, by the way. I don't know if Farhad pointed this out, and it's happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you. I'm a Prime guy. Mm-hmm. I'm getting stuff next day just
because. It just shows up.
Half the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's starting to arrive right away.
Well, is there a distribution center around here?
Yeah, it's in Hayward.
It's in Nevada. Isn't
there's it? One in Hayward, and then the big one in Nevada.
Nevada is the one they're going to shut down,
by the way. It's a no-tax state.
Yeah. Right.
So, again, what they do is they want to be in brick and mortar. They want to have a physical presence in states that don't charge sales tax. Actually, Nevada does charge sales tax. I'm not sure what the deal is.
No, they don't. There's inventory tax and all this other kind of stuff.
The big ones are in Arizona. That's the big ones are there. I've been to those. They have six in Phoenix.
And that's probably because it's near a hub for FedEx or UPS or something.
Yeah, I mean, they are 50 football fields.
Huge.
So can I ask one question about this? So
pick and pack.
Did they have to – what concessions are they trying to get from the states?
No, they've given up.
They've said, all right,
maybe it isn't that we are 9% cheaper in California because that's our sales tax rate, 8.75%. Maybe it's convenience.
Right, well,
if we could make it more convenient, still offer better selection, but make it more convenient, would we compete favorably against brick and mortar? And I think the answer is absolutely.
And inventory. It's right. Total inventory and certainty of it being there without
having
to call.
Farhad says, what if I could say in the morning, order a laptop
in
at
the
my
morning.
Office, pay... In the morning, pay $5 and have it when I get home at my house. Isn't that better than getting in the car, driving down to a retailer and buying it?
Yeah, especially if you ever take a look at that webpage about the horrible, nightmarish people that shop at Walmart.
I know, I love that page.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Sweatpants and a tramp stamp gets me every time.
and a muffin top.
But this, I don't think this is any... What?
You know, I try to...
No, you have no
Sometimes
clothes
my
like
shirts
that.
Are too short, and it's not my fault.
Oh, speaking of
Just
which...
Just stop shopping at Forever 21, Leo. Problem solved.
You know, that's true.
You only have one problem. We talk about this every time.
It's really cute.
And it's that M-Pal. It's that your pants... Your male pattern ass loss, and your pants go down too far, and
male
then
male pattern ass loss.
And then, and by the way, this happened to me. I'm having this conversation
with
Jolie
some
guy.
Jolie almost spitting on her computer and blowing it up.
I'm having this conversation with some guy.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And this, for those of you watching in audio,
hold on.
Happening now.
Okay.
But I'm just gonna say that. That is one.
You know what? Wait, hold on a sec. I'm gonna.
Look at this. This is.
You've
this.
Gotten some back.
Yeah, he's wearing pads.
It's reversible.
I'm not kidding you. Since
now
TV
the show
days,
goes downhill.
You have gotten some back.
Unfortunately, you also, besides MPL...
Now you have to let him feel
slutty
your
butt. Slutty brownies not well, included.
Unfortunately, you coined the term MPL, really. But you coined another term.
Oh, no.
Waddle, waddle, pull.
Well, that was the natural result of MPL was Leah would walk, and then yank him up. Yeah. It's kind of like a 17-year-old with her prom dress.
Now my entire staff says that.
By the way, this is the conversation I had with Ross Levinson the first time I met him.
Who?
Ross Levinson from Yahoo. I'm talking about something.
Levinson has this problem?
No. Some guy walks up to me. It's the conversation strangely starts talking about something else. I start talking about MPAL, and then my boss hits me and says, "Have you met Ross Levinson?"
The CEO. You know, he should have a sign around his neck. I'm the CEO, biatch, or something like that.
Oh, God.
Because that's embarrassing. CEOs should not sneak around.
No. I do not think this Amazon strategy was a short-term or just a realization, and that goes back to the acquisition of Kiva Systems.
Kiva, you're right.
Because
you're on top of
that's
this.
A good one.
You're absolutely. What is Kiva?
So Kiva is a robotics picking program. Or system whereby they can increase the speed of the pick. So the way these warehouses work is that you've got bins on high shelves, and all these bins are RFID or they're barcoded, and people go through with big sleds, and they pick based on orders that come in. So what Kiva Systems does is they input orders, and it's almost like the traveling salesman algorithm. You remember this, where you would try and figure out what the fastest route was as you went and made all your calls?
So these little robots are
Kiva
very
Systems has
efficient.
Figured it out. Right.
You mean they don't use humans?
They do now.
No, they use them. There's a mix. You can see, go to kivasystems.com.
Well, we're watching right now. We're watching these systems
watching
at work.
Yeah.
My
they're
gut
like
instinct
little Roombas.
Is...
They're like little Roombas underneath giant pallets.
Yeah.
Christ, that's creepy looking, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is how an Amazon warehouse works?
Not the ones that I've seen, because they aren't like this, and I bet they don't have robotics and people working side by side.
These new ones are supposed to be loaded with this stuff.
Right. And so it's called picking. Picking is what takes so much time, because the people have to go pick from the bins.
Right.
And so
it also costs money, because humans are expensive. This is a Zappos.
Right, and it has a lot of margin of error.
Yeah.
Because you think you're picking the blue smalls, but actually you pick the turquoise mediums.
Yeah.
So
these robots never make a mistake.
Oh, that's not necessarily true.
Well,
but
somebody
I think
could load the batch wrong. Like,
yeah.
Same thing.
But
yeah.
You're right. Get humans out of the loop. You're probably going to... I have to admit, there very rarely are errors in my online purchases.
I've never had an Amazon error ever.
I don't think
and
I've
buy
ever
a lot
had
of stuff on
error. You're right.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
that interesting? Yeah. So Amazon has been all along... strategizing. You know, during the tech bubble, when companies were just dying because the stock market burst, Amazon was working at a loss for years building giant distribution facilities, these facilities in Arizona, for instance. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, oh, Amazon's crazy. What are they doing? And, of course, come a couple of years later, they're geniuses.
Why does Jeff Bezos not get the credit that we want? You know, this conversation
because he's goofy.
Because of his
goofy.
Bad laugh.
I think that, believe it or not, I think Leo's right.
I know. And he looks like Kevin Spacey.
Can you do his laugh, Leo?
No. I have to work on that. That would be good. Let me see if I can find a copy.
But, I mean, you talk about a company that's had a long-term vision that's been...
Here's the Daily Show. Just...
No, the guy's a genius.
I mean...
He deserves more credit.
He's
unheralded
genius.
It's unfortunate that the
laugh...
Should
stay off the stage. That's my advice.
Here, this is from the Daily Show, I think. We're going to...
It's... your business plan? Is that what you're doing now?
I love Jeff Bezos. I think he's great.
This is...
Ooh. Wow.
I like it because he's real. That's a real human.
I know.
Yeah, well, I know. There's a lot of real humans that don't laugh like that.
I know.
There, you got it.
And he rocks when he laughs.
Yeah. He's like a Jack in the Box, isn't he? With
it's
rocking.
Actually, if it were in a horror situation, it would be...
Oh, I'd be terrified.
Terrifying.
It's like a little bit like a Howard Dean scream, which I'm now renaming the Robert Scoville. The Robert Scoville events freak out.
So Amazon, brilliant. They bought Kiva. They bought... They bought the company.
Right.
They own this, which means you know... Zappos is an Amazon company, so they can continue to use it. But other companies like Walmart, for instance, might not be able to. If you're Walmart at this point, do you start looking at... Is it too late to look at an online strategy?
Oh, are you serious? They've been doing that for ages, dear. They have their whole Walmart Labs thing, which is their Borg-like entity for acquiring really clever startups that are doing interesting things. And then they get these hella smart people. One of the last teams they acquired were like these Node.js geniuses. So there's a whole thing. Like they have the intelligence and they have the technology and they're working on making Walmart.com and especially the mobile side of that very profitable, easy, and somehow as cool as Amazon.
I'm going to say something I think I'm going to regret.
Here we go.
Oh, do it.
I think the people who shop at Walmart...
Uh-oh.
That's a bad premise.
No, I would say stop now.
You know where I'm going with it.
Okay, so I will help you qualify this in actual business terms. Walmart's smartest move they've made recently is buy online, pay in cash.
Because many of their customers don't have credit.
I think it's a high number. I think it's
Don't want to say bad things. I think it's classist in the 50 things about Walmart shoppers.
It's very classist, but I am very elitist and classist.
You are. He is very much of an elitist.
And then Walmart went right there. And they
admitted it. They know their customer. And they don't have credit.
I shop at Walmart.
I won't shop at Walmart. I refuse.
My wife's the same way. She refuses to even step foot into a Walmart.
I have mixed
She says,
feelings.
I refuse to step foot into this Walmart.
I know the union issue is serious, but I also really like their sustainability practices. They are getting there.
Okay.
They are really doing good things. They're asking all of their vendors to source their carbon footprint. They're working really hard on that stuff. And I think that I'm not morally opposed to everything about Walmart. And I think they know their customer. And I don't think that they should... There's a balloon. It's got air coming out of it somewhere.
I think
they know their customer. Why would they compete with Amazon?
I watched The Unforgiven last night. Actually, it's Unforgiven. There's no The.
Oh.
Clint Eastwood movie. Great Western. Mm. And at one point... one of the characters says to Clint, "You know, they're bad men. These people are bad guys. They just don't deserve to live." And Clint said, "All of us are." And so I am
getting it down. It's not bad. It's
you're
not
right.
Bad.
We probably shouldn't throw stones because there's good and bad.
You do
in every
this six? Did he shoot six bullets thinking. Or only five?
Did I shoot five shots or only six?
No. You've already blown it. Never mind.
Well, I got to tell you.
I
could do it. I used to be able to do it. It's been a long time.
Okay, you may give me the perfect segue.
Yeah.
Apple, so bad. Not recycling.
All right. You want to talk about EP? Because they backed off.
So set it up. Or you want to take a break? What are you doing?
Let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll get to story number three.
All right.
Actually, there's a lot of stuff about Apple. For instance, Samsung not cool enough to copy Apple, which is actually good news for Apple. I mean, for Samsung.
Samsung.
Which is weird. Apple admits we were wrong.
Never happened before.
Never happened.
Yeah.
Never happened again.
Beginning of the end.
Yep.
It's interesting.
And a whole lot more coming up.
Great tease.
You know, you shouldn't do teases on podcasts. You know why? You just skip right through the ad.
Oh, no.
I learned this lesson.
No, that's because you can't scrub that accurately with those fat fingers. I can't do it. I'm like,
Didn't Apple put like a jump forward button in? I think they did into the podcast app. Isn't there a jump button now?
We're not going to talk. Why tell your people about that? What are you, nuts? What is wrong with you? Just do the ad.
Hi, my name's Leo Laporte, and I'm suffering from MPOW.
Not anymore. You've been doing your squats.
You can tell, can't you?
And lunges.
Can you tell?
That's rock hard back there.
That's Pilates, baby.
I know. I'm telling you, you've changed. You have changed.
I have a way to reverse MPOW. I used to be so. That's why we do things like this instead of ads, because then nobody dares jump.
I know.
The ad today is for FreshBooks. Do you know about FreshBooks?
Oh, I know about the FreshBooks.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Because you've heard the ads.
Well, you got an invoice.
Yeah. Everybody, if you're you're a freelancer sometimes.
Yeah.
And so the real thing that was a pain for me, I don't do it anymore because I have a company and I have people. But the pain for me for years, right after Tech TV, for about 5 years when I was basically freelancing, was I always had to invoice end of each month. And it was just like, I don't want to do this. I would put it off. It was painful. And then Amber in 2004, Amber MacArthur told me about FreshBooks.com. Changed my world. And I'm not alone. The last time I checked, what is it? It's 50 million people? Something. I can't
remember. Smart. You know, this colleague of mine at GMA, Tori Johnson, she's the workplace contributor. She advocates for women entrepreneurs, and she loves FreshBooks.
Yeah.
And she says, hey, you should not be spending your time on the bookkeeping. You should be spending your time innovating your company.
Yeah. So if you go to FreshBooks.com, you can find out about this. The whole idea is you use online invoicing. Makes it very simple. If you do time and hours, it's great because they have an iPhone app or a web app that will keep track of the time and hours and then put it right in the invoice. But the most important thing FreshBooks does is it makes it easy to get paid. And, you know, I think a lot of times your clients, it's not that they don't want to pay you. It's just it should be – they don't – the pay part is the same as you – it's the same PITA as invoicing. So collection is much faster, much easier. You don't have to worry about manual payment entry. The whole thing happens automatically. You get paid fast with online payments at FreshBooks.com. The invoice follow-up, if you don't get paid, is great. They can automatically, every 30, 60, 90 days, whatever, set it up so that it automatically tickles them or whatever, cattle prods them. The invoicing is very, very nice looking, very professional. You can set up, and I like this, recurring invoicing plus recurring payments. So if your client is up for it, this could be completely friction-free. And this is why I used it, because I was invoicing in the U.S. and Canada, and they actually do almost every country on the world, they do their currency. So it makes it so much easier to invoice in currency, international currencies. You bill across borders as easy as can be. And there are a few clients, fewer and fewer, but there are a few clients who still want those printed invoices for a fee, small fee, $1.39 invoice. FreshBooks will print and mail them to your clients, complete with a return envelope. So again, payment is easy. I want you to try it. Just visit FreshBooks.com. They've got a really nice trial offer, 30 days of unlimited use, everything. The works, as many clients as you want, as many payees as you want. If you're a small business owner, this is absolutely fantastic. And by the way, your accountant will love you at the end of the year because taxes are so much easier with FreshBooks. FreshBooks.com. Billing made painless. Give it a try. So you're done with the aquavit?
She's too tempted by it.
I keep like it's the Irish in me. I put my hand on it, and then the next thing I know, I'm drinking something.
I've seen you do this.
This happens.
By the way, I want to remind people that listen to the show, like to come in to see the studio live. If Jolie O'Dell's ever on the show, booked in advance, come by just to see her. She's always got some spectacular outfit on.
Oh, it is. She's rocking it today.
You know, I described your outfit, and I did not describe Jolie's, but I better not. Why don't you, Becky Worley?
Jolie is sporting a retro do.
I love it. It's Andrew's Sisters.
Andrew's Sisters. We are singing Mr. Sandman, and she has fabulous hot pink red lipstick and cat eye eyeliner that is just exceptional.
It's what I wake up in the morning for.
She's also wearing 4-inch heels, and she's got some...
Four or five.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and apple bottom jeans.
I noticed that when you came in.
Apple bottom jeans, girl.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to get low, just say the
word. Next time, it'll be a different outfit.
Yes, it will.
What's an apple bottom jean? They're bottoms that accentuate not the M-pal, not the whoop-pal.
Does it make your bottom women's look like an apple?
Yes. It's okay, so there's some question in the chat room. What M-pal is, it's when your back... And then your butt goes concave.
It's male pattern ass loss. It's
apple
the
bottoms
the
do
way.
The exact opposite. The back goes here, and then baby got back. It goes out, convex.
Maybe we should
trade
seats.
If there's a market for ladies like
me
with apple bottom jeans, maybe there's a market for M-Pal figures, and maybe you could make M-Pal jeans.
You know what?
Like a thing.
Sounds terrible.
Booty Pop. There's a product for this. It's called Booty Pop.
Yeah, it is.
It's called Booty Pop. I don't think they have it for men.
Is it a prosthetic?
It is a prosthetic.
It's like
your...
a chicken cutlet kind
of thing. Okay, I'm sorry I brought this up.
From it your rear
is.
End.
It is.
I wanted to warn people if you could get a shot at...
Well, you're learning things. Everyone's learning.
I'm not kidding you. This was sent to me.
These are apple bottom pants. That's one of the reasons they look so good. These are from Scotty Vest.
Or you could just use the padding like the drag queens do, you know?
That's true.
That's what it is. Put it right in your control cabinet.
We really don't want to see this, Leo.
No, these are...
Oh, it's got extra zippers.
Oh, Leo, you can't be wearing short pants. You're a grown man.
Whoop, whoop. I got some dollar bills for Leo.
So I didn't realize you were British.
Just call me Magic Mike.
One leg, just disrobed.
So, now, you had a story about Apple doing EP. Let's do that. That'll be story number
2.5. That's right.
Because story 3 is Goodbye Dig. And we gotta talk about
that. Yeah, let's get that in.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
Okay, so just start with the number. So total...
You mean grown men can't wear shorts?
Mm-mm, no sir.
Did you know that, fiancé?
He does. He knows that very
good. I'm in agreement with her. I think a lot of these guys that wear, especially some of these shorts that go kind of like are a little longer than Bermudas.
Yeah.
They look like dresses 90% of the time. It looks like there's a dress in there.
You do know that Steve Wozniak's famous for wearing shorts.
Yeah. Well, if you're a hacker, you can get away with all kinds of things. Okay. But if you are a man and you're not doing some sort of exertion type activity,
socks
you should be
with
wearing
sandals and shorts.
Oh, girl, no.
I'm so preppy. I like the loafer with shorts, with the plaid shorts. I could see you sporting.
Oh yeah, I'd be looking good.
Bermuda shorts. See? I'm the guy. I'm that guy.
I know.
I can't put my pants legs back.
Yeah.
Don't unzip these.
Oh wow, you do have a problem now.
That's not a good
sign. If I were you, Jill, I'd move over 2 inches minimum.
I'm going to make a new line of products called podcast shorts.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like Magic Mike. Well, I like the concept.
If it's a true podcast and you don't have any video, you don't need to be wearing pants at all.
Have you ever done that?
That's true.
No, remember when you streaked the Internet Tonight set? That was awesome.
You did? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, real streak?
Was full streak.
Oh. I was wearing.
Demi streak.
Boo.
Demi streak.
So I can't. So but why don't we talk about EP?
How much money was put into Dig?
Oh, no. You want to do Dig first?
Well, yeah, we got to do Dig. You brought up Dig.
$45 million.
Okay, so $45 million.
$45 million.
That's a lot of venture capital down the tubes.
Down the tubes.
The first thing they did was they sold off the engineering staff to the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post.
Wapo.
And they got...
this isn't like human chattel. 10 mil?
It was. That was what the weird thing was.
Do we not find this odd, kind of bizarre?
Can you sell your engineering team?
I would recommend people read it, even though Wikipedia's got, mixed reviews. The Wikipedia article on Dig, showing all the little mistakes they made and everything they did, it was a classic example of a company having a vision and then deciding to listen to whatever the users told them to do and then doing it.
Oh, it was the user's fault.
I believe it was the user's fault.
You know,
other commentary this week was they didn't listen to the users.
No, you read that wiki thing and you'll see what happened.
The users, the power users, the ones who manipulated Dig for their own advantage.
Users.
That's probably right.
Well, those users were the only thing that made Dig worthwhile. The only reason Dig was worth anything is because it channeled... this huge fire hose of viewers and eyeballs to the websites that displayed advertising and that made money. So it was a very effed up model for doing business in the first place. I don't think Dig ever turned a profit on its own.
How is that different, though, from Twitter, which in theory will make money on...
It's not different.
Same thing's going to happen.
It's not different.
Or Facebook, which in theory makes money on...
No, it's quite different from Facebook, because Facebook keeps you on the site and keeps you looking at their advertising.
Okay.
The purpose of Dig was never to do that, so it was flawed as a business idea from the beginning. Now, those power users...
In defense of Kevin Rose, who's a good friend and an early Twit regular, in defense, his idea was merely news would be better if the readers picked the stories.
However...
In fact, we want to start doing that with Twit, with a subreddit.
You have to mention to somebody that it sold... Somebody just said, well, how could it be bad if it sold for $500 million?
Half a million.
It sold for $500,000.
$500,000.
No, so the total was more like, in completion, it was like $15 million.
Because they sold some of the engineering.
All the other assets that were sold to other...
Patents. Oh, this is interesting.
But they never recovered the 45.
No. LinkedIn bought the patents.
Right. We just found that out. That was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
And that was for several million. So the total is, we don't know, but something like $16
million. Right.
Out of 45 invested. Now, you know who did fine on this is Kevin.
Good.
Because
he got out while the getting was good. Bless his heart.
And he took some money off the table. Occasionally this happens where a founder during an investment round can just say, I'll take that. And he took several million. I don't know, but I think he took at least $1 million off the table. during one of the last rounds.
So now, the crazy thing to me is now, and I'm saying this, I'm meeting with Kevin next week, if I checked my email, right?
Good.
I'm meeting with Kevin next week. The crazy thing is that this kid is not kid. My age. He's a kid still.
You mean the $60 million kid?
Yeah, that kid.
That's
he's
the problem.
Now working at Google Ventures.
Yeah, I know.
You know, as a as
dream
a
job.
Right, but it seems odd to me that, you know, what happened to Digg. I mean, we can say in all fairness that it tanked. It tanked in every way that a website or business can tank. And now the $60 million two-thumbs-up kid from the cover of Business Week is going to be a VC.
This cover is the root of the problem. It quantified some made-up value of the company, and it made Kevin the poster child of Web 2.0, and the expectations were too high, and it was too much, I think. I mean,
I think they had opportunity after opportunity to bail.
I don't.
Sarah Lacey wrote this article in typical Sarah Lacey style. It was June 26, 4:45 a.m., and Digg founder Kevin Rose was slugging back tea,
oh, please stop.
And trying to
I
keep his eyes
goosebumps.
Open as he drove his Volkswagen Golf to Digg's headquarters above the offices of the Bay Guardian in Potrero Hill. This was the day Rose would test everything. So
now, if you could only do it in her voice, she'd have reading. Something.
But the
good job, Leo.
Hi, Kevin. So in perfect defense of Kevin, his original idea I think was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Execution was excellent. I'm not sure what went wrong with Digg. I think I could take some blame because I was the one who told him that he should do Digg 4. And I have a shirt to prove
Shame
it.
Shame on you.
But I think that in every step of the way, they actually tried to do the right thing. Now, here's the interesting and the kind of sad point. There was, and I've heard this from a number of inside sources, at one point, Google was going to buy it for $200 million.
Oh, yeah, we've heard that. And apparently it was a backup. It was like if they didn't pick it up, somebody else, there was a backup guy, I think it was Yahoo or somebody, was going to give him $150. So they could have gotten out of this thing.
There were a bunch of these stories where, you know, a hot young startup gets offered insane amount of money by tech oldster, and then they don't take it. And then,
hey, I remember that.
It happens all the time.
Jason, it's a common
story. It happens all the damn time.
You might have even been here. It was during a twit, maybe one of the first few dozen. Kevin said, yeah, you know, because he'd already started Digg. He said, Calacanis has offered me $1 million for it. And he was agonizing over whether he should take it. And it turned out it wasn't a very good offer. It was mostly stock.
Yeah,
so he decided not to take it. Probably right. I don't know what Digg did wrong.
Well, they listened to the users. I'm telling you, you got to read that wiki thing. Yeah, it was just
one thing. It's
really outlined well in the Wikipedia.
The big mistake was not taking the first offer that came across their desk.
By the way,
they should have taken the money and run.
It was during due diligence that Google declined to spend the money. So it wasn't that Digg turned them down.
Yeah. There was an article in the New York Times this weekend. Binod Khosla, you know, green venture capitalist, wrote this big thing. And
I thought he was Indian.
Some people seem to think that getting acquired should be the highest aspiration for any entrepreneur in Silicon Valley. I disagree vehemently.
If you're not making money on your own, it should be. You have to if you have an investor, you have to recover the money that they gave you. You have to make good on their investment in you.
And you're worth more if you don't make money because then the valuation is made up.
Right.
So that's not to. You have two choices: either make a ton of money or make no money. But where Digg went wrong is it only did okay.
And I don't feel bad for anybody. And they moved the concept forward.
That's what Om Malik says in his post, In Memoriam, even in losing, how Digg won.
Oh, God. Okay, so this is the Silicon Valley fetishization of failure that I absolutely hate. It didn't win. It lost. It lost money. It lost people their jobs. It lost a lot of users, something that they counted on to find and perpetrate the news, even if the news was a cat video. Digg failed. And can we not just say it failed and that sucks? There's no winning.
But what if you just say it provided a bridge?
For what?
It provided a bridge
for
to curate news, the web, for each other.
But they didn't, though, because then you had the power users, and I know because I've worked with them before to get my own stories when I was working at Read Write Web.
Let me give you the story.
Yeah.
If the yardstick of success is making money for the founders, employees, and the investors, then Digg will go down in the annals of web history as a colossal failure. Absolutely. Big loss for everybody, including those people who lost their jobs. However, if your yardstick of success is defined by a company or a product being a change agent And an instigator, Dig was a smashing success.
That's all I'm trying to say. It was
Reddit
a, it
has
was a
been
conduit.
A smashing success.
But would there have been a Reddit without...
I don't think they took... Did
By
they
the
take
way,
money?
I don't know why, but there's a picture of me in this article. I didn't notice that until I scrolled down.
Look at that core strength right there.
Self-promotion, Leo.
Leo, crowd surfing. Look at the core strength you're displaying. You can't do that if you have
MPAL. That was the beginning of the reversal of MPAL.
I'm telling you.
It was all about...
You have changed. It's because I was not willing to cop a feel and just really check.
Thank you for doing that, by the way.
I feel like it's a little bit
more... most exciting thing that's happened to me all week.
See, okay, I feel like Reddit has been more of a change agent.
I agree.
I feel like... And Reddit took $100,000 in funding to date.
Reddit won.
Reddit won because I think they realized, or whoever is running that show... Alexis, is that the guy's name? Realized that, you know, they're not there to make money. They're not there to take money. They're there to do what they do best. And I think Dig got way away from that.
It's very clear the difference between Dig and Reddit is its community, yes?
One of the differences
it's
is the community.
To me, it's a huge difference. When you go to Reddit, it's a definite, there's a definite sense of a community, a real community there, yeah? The Dig community, well, I guess there was a community
there. Was a very strong community.
But it seemed like
there.
They were all about gaming it. How come, now maybe Chad should answer this, or how come Reddit doesn't have the gaming problem that Dig did? That was clearly a big problem.
They must have some really strong anti-gaming mechanisms. Yes,
I mean, definitely there's a lot of people who want to get karma, and they want their number to be higher than everyone else's number. But
that's different from spamming,
right.
Which was basically what happened to Dig.
Right. But also the sense of community in person seems to exist bigger on Reddit, where a comment that's posted on a story can be sometimes better than the actual story.
Because comments are what's great.
Right, exactly. And I never saw that on Dig.
Frankly, the opposite of what happened on Dig.
Right.
You know what I think went wrong with Dig? Okay, this is completely personal. I think G4 is what went wrong with Dig.
Interesting.
That the problem was that Kevin, because he went to G4...
This is a little bit off the wall.
No, I think you're right. I know exactly where you're going.
Because Kevin went to G4, he created an audience. I mean, Dig really was a Kevin Rose joint, right?
Yeah.
And
cult of personality.
And the cult of personality, because he went to G4, became that audience.
Yeah, and it
which
got
is not
very
the audience you want. In fact, it always made me really nervous. And one of the reasons we kind of downplayed a little bit, I never did anything with G4. We Kevin Pereira's never been on the show. Most of the G4 people, I did not want that community to find us.
It's 25-year-old malt liquor.
It's bros.
Yeah.
I didn't want the bros.
Why not? It's just more people listening.
No.
That's not your core demo, and
no.
They're
not going to listen if they don't like the
Me
show.
Me too. I feel the
when
same
you're,
way.
When you're building a community, and it's about crafting a community, and you want to bring in people that you want and not.
Well, yeah, but you do that by the model of the show itself. I mean, those people will not come over. Because they're going to listen and go, this is not for me. And they're just going to go back to G4.
And look what Kevin did. Kevin's version of Twit was Dig Nation.
Right.
That's for bros. That's all about
drinking,
a lot of
beer,
heavy drinking.
Lot of drinking.
And, wait a minute.
What's wrong? We're doing something. We're drinking refined.
Yeah, but this is
we're drinking Aquavit. He drank beer. There's the difference.
Right, and it was cheap beer.
But you know, what about just saying the fact that, let's just call it, I mean, I don't know Kevin that well, so I'm going to say the thing that I think is what we're not saying is Kevin became a celebrity and stopped running the company.
Well, that's true too.
Maybe in a way that was leading in that place. I don't know.
He was a celebrity, he kept
I'm looking at his CV, if you will. I think he's the kind of founder that founds, that comes up with great ideas and gets the ball rolling. And I don't think he's the kind
guy.
To follow through.
So it's a Jay or a...
Jay Adelson ran Dig. And then it wasn't... Kevin came back as a CEO, but I don't know if Kevin was really... Well, maybe he was, though. He was pretty involved in Dig.
But I think he gets really excited about starting things, and that's why I think he'll make a terrific VC.
But so many CEOs
He's going to be a good VC. If you look at his investments, he is going to be a great VC. Look at the list of Kevin Rose investments, including Twitter and Fab.
When you can tell me, look at the list of Kevin Rose exits, then I'll say he's a great VC. I'm not counting any.
He's got some exits. He's got some exits. Let me see if I can find this list.
I'm going to couch my comment as I think about it and refine it.
Instagram is one of his exits, by the way.
Oh, that was a fluke.
Well, I'll take it.
You know, what he did really well is he advocated and he became a face for his company.
Okay.
And as a celebrity, that's a good thing.
Twitter, Foursquare.
Twitter hasn't exited yet.
Okay.
And we don't know how much money they're making,
Pop.
If any.
OMG Pop.
Okay,
Draw
they exited.
Big exit.
Also weren't making
Instagram,
any money.
Instagram, big exit. I'm not saying I'm not saying that these are the greatest companies in the world, but I'm saying he's making money.
No, I'm not saying that they're the worst companies in the world. I'm saying he's investing in companies that get extraordinarily lucky because they get bought before they make money because they're never going to make money.
Okay. Gowalla, Twitter, Foursquare, Daily Booth, NG Moco, Simple Geo, 3Crowd, OMG Pop, Square, Facebook, Chomp, and Formspring.
Seems NG like Moco. That's good.
I heard like one list. That has a revenue model and that actually went public, and I heard a bunch that got lucky exits.
Well, if you were a venture capitalist, would you be looking for a revenue model or a big exit? What are you looking for?
Well, if I were a venture capitalist, I would have extremely different motivations, and I would make some of those bets like, oh, this is stupid, but they'll get acquired tomorrow. Let's invest in them.
Exactly. That's the job, right?
Yeah.
How do I take my dollar and make it $10?
When will all that churn and froth burn away? When will people like Kevin stop getting lucky?
That's a really good question.
You should ask him that when you interview him next week or not.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Ask him that.
No. So when is your luck going to run out? I'll see what I can do.
The way I see it, you stink.
I like it.
Bless his heart.
I did some research with my friend Leo Laporte, and your exits blow.
And you're just, it seems, Leo says you're a loser. What do you say to that?
No, don't say that. I love Kevin.
Oh, this is
and
good.
And Kevin is
he
a good friend.
He seems really likable, so and I like good. The things
no,
that
Kevin's
he
a
does.
Great guy.
He's a good friend.
He and, does seem like a nice guy.
And he was,
he's
in a nice fact, a big part of the launch of Twit. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, story 4.
Remember we said there was no news this week? We're like, this is kind of boring. Yeah,
we can make it up. I want to talk about Kate Middleton's wedding dress.
Shush.
Woo.
And then we still have to do this EP because it's gone
around.
It's a shorty. It's a shorty.
Let's do
a
shorty. We'll do
quickie. Quickie.
What's the EP?
EPEAT.
Here.
This is the certification, the green certification that Apple.
Oh, that.
It's very interesting.
They're gluing the machines together. It's all immediately they can't do it anymore.
There's been a change, John.
Stay tuned.
Don't scrub. Read.
Don't scrub. Read.
No, you read.
Oh.
Don't scrub,
like
read.
I'm producing you. See,
sounds like
have
code.
You feel, have you felt my
no,
ass
I
lately?
I did already. Oh, okay. I know. At the end of the show, you'll feel mine. It'll be we fine. Don't.
Really? You might want to stay
let's
tuned.
Let's get a camera
that.
On this one.
I know I will.
Tell me about their video.
How does this happen to me on this show all the time?
It's, you here, have some more of this.
No, I told you to put it over there. Who's the ad for?
I'm not this kind of guy. I'm really not.
The gnat is still here, by the way.
I know. I keep catching it, and it keeps escaping.
He actually keeps heading to the... No,
maybe he likes aquavit. Maybe
well, you know,
he's more
you
than
catch
one
more
gnat.
Flies with aquavit than with that's green sugar? Tea, apparently.
Yes, right. I'll agree with
the
you
brownies,
on that.
Brownies, though.
Slutty brownies. Flies love it. Mm-hmm. Do you know that... Let me ask. I've never asked you this. Becky, do you have a place where you put your old gadgets?
I have a shoe tree on the back of my office door that's filled with every old gadget and
A
shoe tree. It's a,
oh, it's like that thing, and then it's got slots.
7 by 10. 7 by 10.
And like you have probably what? What do you think in there?
I don't know. Maybe 40 phones.
The thing is, I would laugh, except that every single person in this audience has that. Yeah. A drawer with a bunch of crap in it, or a closet, or in John's case, actually rental space. Mm-hmm. I remember going to John's house. I'm sorry, John. I have to tell this story,
here
but it's always
go.
True.
You've been
in the
to
living
John's
room,
house.
I've been to John's house, whoa. Fortress of Solitude, and there was a pile in the living room. I'm sure it's gone by now. This was like 15 years ago of software, and it was like it was yay high. It was like up to my nipples. It was this big of boxes.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the days.
It was like a dump truck had pulled up and dumped software in your
tons
living room.
Tons of it, yeah.
And then I'm looking. I'm going to the bathroom, and I'm going up the stairs, and on every stoop. There's another laptop going all the way up.
Well, because you might want to stop and boot one of them.
I mean, this is obviously an occupational hazard of tech journalists. Yeah. But even anybody listening to this show has a lot of stuff, I'm sure. And the real issue is, what do? You could just put it in a shoe tree, or you could actually sell it, get money, and buy new stuff. And that's what Gazelle.com is all about. Gazelle is a great place to sell your iPhone, your Mac, your iPad, your iPod, your Apple display, your BlackBerry cell phone. Better quickly. Don't waste time. Go to gazelle.com.
Lose
on
value.
One.
That LG Envy I have in the Shoe Tree 7.3 is.
They're not going to get to more. Let's put it this way. They're not going to gain in value for another 100 years. Then maybe, because it'll be an antique. Yeah. HTC, Motorola, Samsung, Nokia cell phones. Mm. I have. Let me just. Check this out. So pick your product, get an offer. Now, these offers are good for 30 days, so this is nice. It gives you a chance to kind of mull it over, to say goodbye, to have a little ceremony. Mm-hmm. I have a Nokia N9. Ooh. Oh, yeah. This was a nice, I loved it.
It was a great
phone. I haven't used it. It's unlocked.
That was a major, wasn't that like a big idea?
Well, it's, the Lumia 900 is based on it, you know. Anyway, I like this phone.
Dump it. It's worth about $100.
$200.
I could buy
a new phone for that.
Yeah, you should. I would dump it.
So here's the deal. They pay the shipping. If anything over a buck, they pay the shipping. And they will wipe the data. You don't have to like even think about it. They take care of it.
Sure.
Of course they do.
Factory reset before you send it.
You should do that. But honestly, they have data experts that will wipe all the data.
So there was an article in PC
World. This came in from who? Leo Laporte?
No. There was an
article. Give it to Bill.
No, there was an article in PC World, and they looked at all the resellers, and Gazelle came back. The ones that they got from Gazelle had all the data wiped.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
I know these guys very well. I'm not doing an ad for somebody who's not going to do that.
No, I know.
And I'll tell you what. You get cash, you get PayPal, but you could also get an Amazon card. And I bet you would like this because it's 5% bonus. So the $200 now is $210 on an Amazon card. And believe me, I spent enough money on Amazon. That's as good as cash. Mm-hmm. Gazelle is amazing. So go there. Get a 30-day quote. It's guaranteed for 30 days. And you know, if you decide not to take advantage of it, that's fine.
I've done it before. I rated my product, and when they got it, they said, we think it's a little better than the way you rated it.
They do that. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. That I don't understand.
That's cool.
That's like giving up money, but they do it. They will say, you know, it's in perfect condition. We're going to up the... I get emails from people every day that say, you know, Gazelle actually upped the value because it was in better condition than I thought. Try it right now. Gazelle.com. And I think you're going to be very happy with the results. They've paid out, this I just found out, $50 million to over 300,000 customers.
And they recycle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is the right way to recycle.
Nice segue.
Don't throw it out. Don't keep it in a shoe tree. You're passing along. Somebody's going to use it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Gazelle.com. Kate Middleton.
Why?
Now, I would not normally have... picked this article, but I read it and I thought, you know what, this is a good point.
You're just joking about this article.
So it's a Wikipedia issue, actually. So if you go to Wikipedia, in theory, it's an encyclopedia of all information. Mm-hmm. But as you probably know, editors get to vote on what's an appropriate article. At Wikimania this year, Jimmy Wales is talking and he says...
Going on right now?
Pardon me?
Going on right now.
He says that there is a problem. The community basically is male-dominated, geek-colored glasses. And so he gave as an example, we have over 100 articles on every Linux distribution, many of them very obscure, and they're all there. But the day of the royal wedding, a Wikipedia article about Kate Middleton's dress, which I would argue is probably something that should be in an encyclopedia like this.
Oh, it's newsworthy.
There's everything in this thing, so it should be in there.
It should be. Well, okay, so this is the debate.
There are a lot of fashion articles on Wikipedia, especially about historical fashion.
Well, this is historic.
Things like corsetry. There are a ton of articles on Wikipedia
about
corsetry.
A bunch of guys.
I know, right? Yeah. It's so hot. So anyways, but the point is...
That's why.
No, the point is... I don't think that's why.
I think
why.
It's sexist. Only a small number of the editors are women.
Yes.
It was flagged for deletion, and it's gone.
People don't care about one person's wedding dress, it's sexist, because women are supposed to care about Kate Middleton's wedding dress. Now, that's sexist, sir.
Well, it's a forum that underrepresents the population as a whole.
That's true.
Is that fair?
That's completely fair, yes.
One of the guys who said it should be deleted made this point. I really see this idea that keeping this article does something to remedy the gender imbalance here to be facile at best and insulting at worst.
All women are girly. Not all women care about girly things. And I think when you have a 50-50 gender split, you could still argue a lot of that Kate Middleton's wedding dress in itself doesn't deserve its own Wikipedia article.
So when a Wikipedia Foundation fellow, Sarah Sturch, had a edit-a-thon at which women, some Wiki veterans, some newbies, used Smithsonian records to create new articles on under-recognized female historic figures.
Oh, I like that.
Two of the fruits of their labor were rapidly nominated for deletion. And after the decision was made to keep them both intact, one was nominated again. This is one of the things that happens on Wikipedia is you get these battles over these pages. This should be deleted.
Should look at the history of these.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, the discussion. Yeah.
It's like, well, the reason I'm asking this is because we have both Jolie and Becky here.
We have a 50-50 gender split on Twitter.
Yeah, and I would very much like to know what your opinion is on this issue. I don't think I have the right to speak.
You have the right to speak.
You don't have the right to speak. That's interesting.
Sure, you do.
That's never happened.
You have plenty of rights to speak.
I think that there's something to be said for the fact that this hasn't been a native environment for women who aren't geeky. It started in the geeky world, and I don't think it's necessarily had the same growth with women that it did with men.
I think the geek world has just historically been hostile to women because women have often been hostile to geeks, and that's a huge, like, generalization. But if you want to go back to, like, the 1950s in the lab at MIT, why weren't women there?
There is this great research that came to light this week that I first heard about, talking about stereotype threat.
Yes, I saw that.
And the concept with stereotype threat is that, and basically this research shows that women are not taking to science careers, not taking to traditionally technology-based either social environments or careers or studying, not so much because of the old problem, which was, well, the ladies can't do the science or the ladies can't do the technology.
Which, by the way, Larry Summers, president of Harvard,
I know,
famously said, well, women aren't good at math.
But look who he mentored.
Who?
Sheryl Sandberg.
Oh.
Damn right.
There you go.
So I don't know. I'm not 100% sure that
How
that,
good is she at math?
That's a great question.
She's probably good at balancing books. Yeah.
You know,
so the whole concept of stereotype threat is that we think we're moving to the next gen, which is you guys right here are two of the most fabulous men that I have been
it's
around.
It's a setup for something.
No, I'm so rarely this earnest, but you guys are amazing. You have, especially you, Leo, you mentored me so much early in the day. I mean, I've known you for 15 years and you started me on this career and I never felt a gender bias from you.
I am sexist pig, however.
That doesn't mean you didn't want a piece. I'm just saying. I never thought.
It didn't hurt that you were hot.
I did never felt like you questioned my ability. And I think that's the
2.0. This company, I have to point out, is run by a woman.
Yeah.
Not by me.
And John, and same for you. But the point is, I felt it. And that's what stereotype threat means, is that women sometimes are so nervous about fitting the stereotype of not being geeky, not being sciencey, not being technical.
Oh, women do crazy things. They overcompensate for that, and they will go crazy in the opposite direction and be as fugly as possible so you don't think they're too pretty to be smart. And I have talked to so many female engineers who have said things like, you know, well, they didn't feel that they were discriminated against in that male environment, but they do put a lot of pressure on themselves. And I think that, you know, if there is a stereotype bias that comes from women, that the women of merit have to work very hard to overcome their own expectations of themselves, negative expectations of themselves.
You know what I do like that is starting to happen, and I've seen this happen at Google. Jolie is a good example. That maybe it's a post-feminist world, but there are a lot of women engineers at Google who intentionally look cute and they dress well and they don't play down their looks, they don't play down their femininity.
And you're doing the same thing. I think that is very much part of feminism to say, hey, guess what? You expect this to be dumb? Screw you. I'm extremely smart and I will take your job right away.
And I'm not going to play the fugly game. I'm not going to play the fugly game. I am going to be myself.
Yep.
And you better get used to it.
And I might fit the stereotype, but I'm still going to be, I might fit the stereotype of being girly or being femmy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the next phase.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's great.
And I think real feminism is saying you can look like whatever you
want
to look like,
you want.
But we are going to take you at your intellectual
value.
How
many editors, I'm going to give you a trick question. How many editors at Wikipedia do you think are women? What is the percentage?
I'd guess 15%.
Well, didn't it say 9?
10.
Oh, she read
10.
The article.
Oh, I was going to guess 10.
Whoops, I can read.
It's 9%. It's a very surprisingly low number. And I don't know if that's because it's such a... It's not a male dominant.
The women are spending all their time on Yelp. They've taken it over.
And Pinterest.
Is that right?
You are so mean. You sucked me into that. That was a trap.
I missed it completely.
He trapped me into saying that. He's looking at his twinkle.
Do you have money on this? How many times he says Pinterest?
It's just he knew that I would say something sexist.
Yeah, of course.
No, I don't think that's wrong.
So,
yeah. Story, you know, story five.
Wait a minute. Before you go, I want to defend the people that work at Google. You have to admit that the guys who went over there, they're the ones who let themselves go.
Oh, God.
All the free food, they're all fat. Every guy who's wanted to Google has gained
neck beard headquarters.
Minimum, 20 pounds minimum.
Sorry, honey. I saw some cute-looking little engineers over at Google when I was there last week.
They just started.
You know what it is?
You know, they have those bicycles, those dorky-looking little Google bikes on campus, and I think that helps.
I'm telling you, it's because they all commute down from San Francisco. You cannot. It's very hard to commute and be fit.
So we had on Twit Photo a Google engineer. I can't remember what she works
all
on. I think it's Gmail. Her name is Petra Cross. She's beautiful.
Great name.
She dresses fantastically. She is the exact antithesis of what you would think of as an engineer. Yeah. And when I met I'm Petra Cross. I'm just kind of goggle-eyed because you know me. I can't resist
goggle-eyed.
It was not. It was.
And then she says, "Oh yeah, my day job is I do Gmail." What do you mean you do? I write the code that runs Gmail. And I just think this is great. And then there's people like Colleen Kelly, who was our chief engineer many years, who is, you know, wears army boots and will beat the crap out of you. And I just think it's good. I think in a really, truly meritocratic environment where people really care about what you think, not what you look like, you can be anything.
That's why I love
the Valley. If you step up to the plate and you do it.
That's why I love San Francisco, not L.A., not New York.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you are... I mean, I know that it's weird and there's all this, you know, money stuff, but I do feel like fundamentally you are what you create and you are what you think.
And we need to keep it that way. We need to keep it that way. And that's the one thing I like about geeks is... And this is why I hope that this sexism isn't real, is that they do value what you do.
Yeah, I think so.
They pay attention. It's a meritocracy.
They sure do.
I always used to say.
I don't know. I think there's a huge ageist thing going on with these people.
I agree. You know.
Right. I think you're right.
Once your hair is white, when you get a little snow on the roof, they don't.
If you weren't working this job that you've got here, Leo, you'd be done.
You know what?
Oh, I
actually,
know. I'm done anyway. This is
so
a backwater.
Right.
Are you kidding? I'm already done. Television's worse than Google.
I disagree. I think television's getting much more comfortable with women of a certain age.
That's why Ann Curry is still working on the Today Show.
No, that's wrong.
There you go.
It's not because she's 50?
Absolutely
Touché.
Not.
Touché.
Nope, I disagree.
Why? What happened? You know better.
Hey, I work at a network where...
You're pushing 50.
You got it, babe.
No, you're not.
In like 20.
Yeah, she's got a way to go.
No, I mean, I feel great about that at ABC. I may not last the distance, but we have... You know, a ton of women who are over 50 who are really
prominent. Do they look over 50?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. That's great.
And they look great.
Mm-hmm. I look at Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC, who is a woman of stature, journalist of stature, who is of a certain age.
Yeah.
And shows it. Doesn't look like she's had a lot of work done. Mm-hmm. She looks normal.
Candy Crowley,
very good example. Heavy woman, but who is a great reporter, and it doesn't matter.
Robin Roberts,
51. I hope that that's the case. But then you look at local news.
You're fooling yourselves.
And it's Connie Tanakawa.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know. This is not a good conversation.
Yeah,
this only can lead to trouble.
Yes,
you guys are more screwed than Jolie and me. Sorry.
I wish we were more screwed than you and Jolie, but that's not going to happen.
Now, what do you mean by screwed?
See?
I already did that joke,
we
John.
We have stereotype threat. Did you notice? Our thoughts are going there. They can't overcome their manness. They got that thought process going on in the background. That must take some CPU
cycles
hard.
Out. It's hard. You have no idea.
You poor bastard.
It's horrible.
I feel so sorry for
you. I always
guys.
Thought of it as testosterone poisoning.
All right. Next topic.
Item 5, E-Pete.
Okay, we're going to do 130 on this. Go.
So Apple, which makes, in fact, was one of the creators, along with others in the consumer electronics industry and the EPA, created a certification called the E-Pete certification for recyclable and green stuff. Apple has in the past submitted most of its products. Not all. iPad and iPhone were not submitted for E-Pete certification. Last week, Apple said, we are going to pull all remaining 39 products of our product line from E-Pete. We are not going to participate. Maybe they didn't look. I don't know. But perhaps if they had looked, they would have noticed that the federal government requires that 95% of all products it buys are E-Pete certified. So does Ford. So do a lot of companies, and so does, in fact, the city of San Francisco, which
because
said
Apple's such a big deal in enterprise and government.
Well, maybe they thought we can get away with it. So the city of San Francisco steps forward, and says, "Well, that means we're buying no more Apple products."
Cynical.
No, I agree. Well. And what she was saying was, Apple can afford not to care because it's not a big market.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they do care.
But people, there was a lot of press about this.
That's because they're gluing these things together now.
Well, this is what, okay, John, and I agree with you. This is what I thought, that it was the MacBook Retina display, which has the battery glued in, the screen glued in. I thought, like the iPhone and iPad, it's unrecyclable. It couldn't get EPEAT certification.
And when you also have to be repairable,
CEO said,
too.
The EPEAT CEO said, if you can't break it down, if you can't take it apart, you can't recycle it, and it's not going to get the seal of approval.
So maybe that's where I got the idea. Guess what? It is EPEAT certifiable, and Apple has changed its mind.
A letter from Bob Mansfield, Senior Vice President of Hardware Engineering, posted Friday morning. We've recently heard from many local Apple customers who were disappointed to learn that we'd removed our products from the EPEAT rating system. I recognize that this was a mistake.
Mm.
Starting today, all eligible Apple products are back on EPEAT.
That's not the iPhone and iPad, but everything else.
Oh, including
the Retina display. But I have to think, I'm with John. I don't think this is recyclable. I've talked to people, Kyle Weems at iFixit, who says, you know, when you glue this stuff together, it might be technically recyclable. It might be that, yeah, if you had the right heat gun, you could get the glass off the lithium ion and you could separate. He said, but no recycler has the time. Or the end, it's not practically recyclable.
Well, that's right. Like when you read this Bob Mansfield letter, it's extremely passive aggressive. He's like, well, Apple recycles all their own products, and we have a very aggressive 70% recycling goal, and we've been working on environmental things that EPEAT doesn't even care about yet. It's very passive aggressive, and they just really don't give a crap about the EPEAT.
That's what I think. The impression they wanted to give is we're better than EPEAT, but they're not. Yeah. These are not recyclable products.
So what does this letter mean? I mean, I think there's two questions I have.
I think John's right. I think somebody wrote a check to EPEAT. That's what I think.
That's what I do.
There's nothing in this letter that says we've changed our practices and
we're not
going to
glue batteries into cases anymore. Right. No, there's none of that.
I think it's still not recyclable.
This is all PR.
But let's take a look at the future.
Confident.
What's going to be recyclable in the future?
Nothing, because we, as a consumers, want thin, light.
Right.
Products.
It has to be glued together.
But, okay.
Unless you want some big clunker.
Or until you get Google Glass and it's all holographic anyways and we don't have to care
like
anymore.
That'll be the day.
One other follow-up on this. Is there anything substantial in this, just this phrase, I recognize that this was a mistake? Doesn't that seem uncharacteristic?
I've never heard Apple say it made a mistake. Even in Antenna Gate, it did not admit a mistake.
You're holding it wrong.
Yeah.
You're holding it wrong.
You're never recycling it wrong. Mistake,
well, so. In a post-Jobs era, I think that they can say that now. I don't think Steve Jobs ever would have said they made
never.
A mistake. Never.
And he would have never allowed any of his people to say that.
Yeah, that's what I was first. I just gasp. What? Wrong?
But that's all PR and positioning and really doesn't have anything to do with what they're in fact going to do, which is continue to make devices the way that they are making devices, which is profitable and which is quick and which you really can't recycle.
And really, if you're going to lay blame at anybody's door, it's at us who buy these.
Well, at you, sir.
Well, look at yours. This is not recyclable.
This isn't glued together.
Oh, please.
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it is. And I'm not going to recycle it when I'm done
Well,
with it,
Apple does, when you buy an Apple product,
Although
it
you
charges you a recycling fee. And in theory, you could bring it back to the, it should bring it back to the Apple
Wait,
store.
They charge you money?
Yeah.
When you buy it or when you return it? Oh, okay.
It's like, you know, the bottle bill. You have to pay a nickel for every time you buy a soda.
Yeah. Except you don't get it back.
No, you never get it back. It's a scam.
Well, if you bring the soda bottle back, you get it back.
Yeah, who does that?
I think
that?
We've just identified another racket, Apple's recycling program / fees.
Okay, you're right. Somebody said Walter Cronkite would never have accused Apple of corruption without evidence. You're right. I have no evidence. It just strikes me as suspicious that they suddenly
who's
EPEAT.
Who's this defender here? Apple people listening to the show?
Yeah. Of course we do. I just wonder, is it recyclable or is it just Apple got the...
Let's put it this way. It seems scammish.
I don't understand what changed. Why is it now recyclable?
Yeah,
it's not recyclable, and I don't think he said that in the letter. I don't think he said, oh, we're changing the way we're making our products.
He said all Apple products are now...
That are eligible.
All eligible good Apple products are back on EPEAT.
So it doesn't mean a thing.
Maybe it won't get on... Maybe the other shoe hasn't dropped. We haven't heard whether these will be certified or not.
By the way, I think you got me banned from Apple.
I don't
events.
Think they're going to change
I
anything
think,
if it's
yeah,
not
Yeah, I think what you said there, Leo, means you'll never get invited.
Wait a minute. You're not getting invited anymore? You're Good Morning America.
Well, we don't cover Apple events as much anymore, and I've applied for a couple events for Yahoo stuff, and I think it goes back to that accidental ambush of Steve Jobs when I was streaming for you.
Oh.
Well, that was a good move. That was a good press move. So this was what, at the iPad?
So you're banned.
This was the MacBook Air.
MacBook Air.
These guys are banned. You know, the Apple will not invite them to anything.
So, well, we don't know. But
by the way, I'm in the same group, but I've been on it longer.
Jolie, do you ever get invited? No.
Oh, darling, I don't cover Apple. I don't like to jump through anybody's hoops.
Yeah. So basically, you're watching a panel of four people.
We don't know what we're talking about.
I don't know what to talk about. Let's talk, since you've got a Q, let's talk about the Q, the Nexus 7.
Okay, we can talk about
jelly bean, butter.
I had a Q.
Not cool enough.
Pardon me?
Remember the not cool enough?
Oh, that was the silliest.
And Samsung.
Well, the judge worded that interestingly. Which judge was that?
You know, I know you're enjoying this show, but if you missed any of the shows all week long on Twit, you missed a mouthful. Here's a little bit of what you might have seen this week on Twit.
This is Twit.
There we go. Now, that's
look
not something
that.
You
that's
normally...
scary.
Yeah, that looks terrifying
I'm
normally.
I'm scared.
You don't want to see that, but it's okay. Everything's going great now.
Oh, yes, I'm scared.
So this is kind of silly. I mean, it's nice to come back, but is there are there any... I mean... Oh.
So, plus USB dongle.
Plus, I've got some great stories about Jobs. Steve Jobs in Paris in the... in the early 80s. It was a joke.
They're not even really laughing about it anymore. They're like, oh, yeah, I read 50 Shades of Grey at the pool last weekend. And I'm like, why are you telling me? It's like, aren't you supposed to be embarrassed?
Lady Gaga, how do you think she's going to run her social network, Little Monsters? Are you a member, Gina, Little Monsters? Are you a little monster?
I am a little monster.
Wait. You really are?
I really am.
How did I know?
Twit. If it happens in the world of technology, we got your back.
Close up. Hold on a second.
What?
This was a house ad.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
When did you start doing house ads?
You got cross promo.
You know what we found out, John? We found out this show, this is our biggest show by far. Oh. Most of the people who watch any show watch Twit. What we have is 30 other great shows that people don't know about.
So you're becoming like a network.
Oh, he's a network. You get Nolan Bushnell.
You're like
here?
CBS. CBS comes along. They're plugging their own shows. And the next thing you know, the news is going to be about the show. You know, you're going to have Tom Merrill come up and say, and by the way, and after Apple has released their quarterly
Speaking
reports.
Speaking of which, I wonder what's going on in the week ahead, Tom Merritt.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at what we'll be talking about on Tech News Today in the week ahead. There's a Fortune Brainstorm Tech Conference going on in Aspen. That's July 16th through the 18th. Lots of earnings. We're going to get them from Yahoo. We're going to get them from Intel on July 17th. On July 19th, it's Earnings Palooza, Google, Microsoft, Nokia, and Verizon. July 18th, the day before that, is IBM. July 17th and 18th is Startups Demo Day in Mountain View. And looking a little farther down the road, Black Hat's coming July 21st through 24th. That's a look at what we'll be talking about in the week ahead. Back to you.
I think is Tom at Comic-Con? Is that where
he is?
Yeah, San Diego.
Yeah.
By the way, right after Black Hat, DEF CON. That is a lot of fun. And I'm hoping there's a pen testing competition there. And one of our fans is going to be there. He's going to be on one of the teams. And I'm hoping we're going to get some coverage of the, what do they call it? It's not Pwn to Own. It's got a fun name. Anyway, that'll be fun.
I have yet to beat this Merritt in this game.
You just got suckered right into that tease, by the way.
It's a capture the flag. Exactly. That's what it is. It's like a capture the flag. A lot of fun. You set up servers as a team, and then you try to hack the other team's servers, and the first team who hacks the other guy's servers wins.
It's really
fun.
You know, we're sending our security reporter is this little blonde 24-year-old dish. She's just so cute. And we're sending her to DEF CON in Black Hat this year.
That'll be fun. What's her name?
Her name is Megan Kelly. Good. And we keep being like, okay, you got to lock down everything with really good passwords. You do not leave anything open. And, oh, it's going to be wonderful. I hope she gets hacked 5 ways to Sunday.
Get some goat hair chaps, too. Remember when those were big at DEF CON?
Chaps?
I missed that one.
Yeah, but made out of goat skin with, like, long goat hair. Oh, it's my like, lasting
like
memory.
You're thinking of Burning Man.
No,
that's another event.
Never
heard of this.
Goat hair chaps.
Sidebar, just random, since we're just going all over God's creation.
VentureBeat will be the place to watch your DEF CON and Black Hat coverage. And, you know, when Patrick would go down there, he would not even bring a computer or any computing device. He said, I do not want to show up on the wall of shame.
Well, we have to make her do reporting while she's down there.
You know
there.
They have this wall of shame. If you get hacked, they put your...
Oh, crap. She's going to be all over... Yeah. Well, maybe. Who knows? She's actually really smart.
I mean, she might fool everybody. We're going to come back and talk about story number 5.
Whatever it may be.
Oh, yeah, Google thing. But first, a word from Squarespace.com, the secret behind the best websites in the world, including our own inside Twit blog. Squarespace sites are rock solid. It's hosting plus the best software that combine to make a secure, fast, beautiful site. If you're looking to create a new website, maybe you're first, maybe you're an old hand, Squarespace is the place to go. Check it out. Go to.
I took your advice.
Did you do it? Yeah. What do you think? What's your site?
BeckyWorley.com.
You moved it to Squarespace.
I sure did. I took your advice because the thing that sold me was no two websites are alike. This is gorgeous.
Oh, I like the background.
Yeah. This is not a cookie cutter. No. You just got to, and it took, I don't know, half a day or something and it was fabulous. I love hosting. You know, I love
And just it links to all of your stuff. So you can see Upgrade Your Life. You can see GMA. What's this next frontier thing you do?
Oh, I'm doing another one of those. That's the documentary on green energy and green tech.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, we're doing another one called We've Got the Power. We're going to Spain to learn about molten salt storage for solar power. I'm super psyched about that.
I can't believe how much you work. The Travel Channel, the National Geographic Channel, Yahoo, ABC. You're like amazing.
But also, This Week in Tech. Twit. It's one of my favorite things ever.
So how was the experience building
it? I loved it. Yeah. I found it really easy. I found the pricing to be reasonable.
This is something that's amazing. So
I took advantage of your offer code.
Did you? Thank you.
Which I didn't realize. It's Twit plus the month. Is that right?
Yeah. Twit 7 for the month of July, right. For instance.
Got it.
So if you go to squarespace.com, this is... Don't show that. Oh, good.
That was
yeah,
close.
Show John's empty chair. That would be safer than showing suck.com, which is what I just typed.
S-U-Q.
Thank God it was an empty site.
Phew.
Squarespace, not suck.com. That's a typo. Squarespace.com is the best thing about it is it's very easy to try. You just go there, click the try it free button. You don't need a credit card. You get 2 weeks of the entire, you know, the run of the place. Suck.com is not the same as Squarespace. I don't know why that keeps showing up. You get the great templates. You get the great 300-plus Google fonts. Really easy importing from your existing site. If you have mobile type, WordPress, Typepad, or Blogger, it just gets the whole thing, including all your links, all your SEO. They've got an iPhone and Android app that is just killer.
Fabulous metrics, too. You sign into your dashboard with a widget.
Do you like that?
A one-click sign-in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the metrics are really good. You can see who's your most recent comments. You can see where your referrers are.
It's nice to know all of this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Even if you're not trying to monetize it, it's really just nice to know. By the way, and you mentioned the pricing, this is their new pricing. It's very simple. Basically, $8 or $16 a month.
Boom.
It's a yearly plan that you can go month to month if you want. It's a little bit more expensive if you do that. But $8 gives you the basic, but I think the best deal is $16 for unlimited pages, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. For any annual plan, they will hook you up with your own custom domain, BeckyWorley.com, and do all the hookups. So
that was surprisingly
easy.
That
saves you money, yeah.
That was what I thought was going to be.
They do that for you.
It was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Well, you had an existing site, so you had a different situation where you were taking an existing site, right?
No.
Oh, this was brand new.
I took that and just said bye-bye.
Oh, good.
And then transferred and built all through Squarespace.
Awesome. So,
half a day.
Half a day.
Yep.
There you go. That unsolicited testimonial.
Yep.
Now, here is the offer code. And this is only if you buy. You could try it free without an offer code. Mm-hmm. But if you do decide to buy, 10% off your first purchase. So if it's an annual plan, it's a significant savings. Use the offer code TWIT7. TWIT7 when you buy. And the next month will be TWIT8. Last month it was TWIT6. Mm-hmm. The reason I mention that, sometimes people listen to the July show in August. So if you do that, use TWIT8.
By the way, I built the whole site in trial. And then
once I had it, I
switched it to a paid.
Very easy.
Yeah.
It's nice. I like it. It's a great picture of you too. BeckyWorley.com.
That is so sweet.
I've been following Becky.
On the Twitter.
Let's hope she doesn't turn around.
Be Worley
on Twitter. At Be Worley.
What's the noagendashow.com is on a Squarespace.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's true.
Wait, if I go to SeanHannity.com, will it show up?
It'll buy. I don't know if they still have it, but it should forward to the show.
Let's see. Yep, goes right to No Agenda Show. You didn't know that?
No.
Isn't that great?
We got tons and tons of these things.
You talk about community.
You are the dirtiest dog I know.
We don't even do it. It's just our listeners.
No Agenda has the best. I don't know what the story is, but that's an example of cultivating a community and a certain type of community.
A community of trolls. That's beautiful, though.
Not exactly really trolls.
Okay, it's kind of trolls.
Just
kind of
smart Alex.
We got some here. Website.
We got a few here. God.
I'm going to do that.
We've been getting great studio audience lately. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. Is there anybody from outside the U.S. here? Where are you from?
Whoa. Ooh. Oh, the Dubai connection. Hey.
That's awesome.
Dubai Sevens.
That's awesome.
Do you live in one of those crazy developments? Like the Palms? Yeah.
Dubai is amazing. Why are you living in Dubai? A lot of Brits go to Dubai for vacation because it's nearby.
It's kind of close.
But you're working there? Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. Well, it's nice to meet you. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. If you want to join us for any show, you can always come by. We have an open studio. We just ask that you email my sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
She's the best.
Eva@twit.tv. So, did you play? So, you got a cue. We all agree the cue. What's the point, right, Jolie?
I think the point is not immediately apparent. If I say something so disparaging about the cue in 6 months when you can actually let go and buy it and use it, then it'll be doing amazing things like shooting lasers, maybe entertaining your cat. No. All right, so here's the thing. At Google I.O., they loaded us down with, like, three gadgets. It was, like,
three. You got a Nexus, a Nexus 7.
I know.
And a Chromebox.
I know. I took my bicycle to Moscone. I could barely make it home. I was, like, heaving up the hill with, like, 50 pounds. And this Nexus
Q. Look at that lady. She must be coming from Google I.O.
Seriously.
Yeah, that Q is a heavy little,
like a
lead ball.
It's a 7-pound little, what does it do?
It's a little ball.
It's a Q ball. It's a Death Star.
So you've not been able to get it to do much?
Well, I mean, define much.
Anything?
Stream? Can make it,
we don't know,
play
what it does.
A song on my television from my tablet.
Android.
Or, well, it has to be running 4.1, and if you don't have the software update, then you're screwed.
Oh, because you know on the website they say Gingerbread, but not so, huh?
I wasn't able to run the Nexus Q app on the... This is like layers within layers. It's like crazy software all the way down.
Now, John has the Galaxy Nexus phone, and you like that.
Oh, yeah, the phone
it's nice.
And that's running the buttery jelly bean.
It's running butter on top of jelly bean, on top of
toast
with a little bit of marmalade.
Yum.
It's got marmalade running in the background with the butter and the toast and the English tea. PG tips is in this
now,
phone.
Now, if you just had Marmite in there for a little protein and some WTF, then that would be a truly delicious sandwich.
Marmite is WTF, I agree.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Now, on the other hand, people are raving about the Nexus 7. Mine just shipped, so I should get it in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I've got one.
What do you think?
I'm not a big tablet. I mean, I've been playing Angry Birds on
it's
it.
It's a
you know?
Tablet, it's, dude. It's just
what's
a
wrong
tablet.
With tablets?
Nothing's wrong
tablets.
With tablet. The phone is a phone and the tablet is a tablet, and they're both really shiny and thin and nice. They're nice.
Yeah.
What do you want us to say?
So I'm in the same boat with her. She's an anti-technology person.
I'm not
though.
An anti-technology. I think it's all great, but I'm just saying that they're all objectively, they're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
They're really all the same.
I will say something about that. Until this, Android tablets were not the same. They were junky. They were horrible.
They were.
It was like so
the fact that you even now can lump it even near the iPad is saying something.
Good. The 10.1 was
It was
all
running
right.
Honeycomb, which was a terribly ugly... It was the Tron of operating systems.
Mm. Oh, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't very nice.
Well,
so the fact that they've got something that you say is in the ballpark with an iPad is saying something.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, I've been an iPad user either.
I mean, I use a lot of iPads and I use a lot of gadgets, and
just
I guess
doesn't knock you out. You still don't have a cell phone, do you?
No, I got a feature phone actually. It's got little buttons on it. It's so funny.
So what happened
it's
to the Nexus? Did you give it to your
yeah,
husband?
Yeah, the fella is using all those things. The Nexus Q though, no one uses
that
because we can't give a crap about it. We don't care. We've already got, we're gadget people. We have Sonos in the house. We have any number of media servers. We have so many devices that play our, what's the thing that plays the music, the Spotify thing?
Sonos.
We have all this crap in the house already. Yeah.
I love Sonos. This is their attempt to be a Sonos.
It is, and I saw that and I thought
come
that.
Come in at a lower price.
It's such a one-trick pony right now.
$300.
I know.
And you know what, though? Eventually it will be a Sonos combined with a Roku, and if they can get the price point down and make it do more cool stuff, if they could make it shoot lasers, everybody would get
on board. Now, this is interesting because TK421 in our chat room says there was a Doctor Who episode where people were given hand-sized spheres as gifts, and it turned out They were Trojan horses for sabotaging robot spiders.
I think that's it.
That's a nice theory.
Have you tried it against a robot spider?
Maybe it's sentient, and I'm the one who's like.
What if it were? What if, like, okay.
Oh, here we go.
Wouldn't that be great? Oh, my God. Okay.
What if it's a Trojan horse? What if Google got this into 6,000 developers' hands, and now those 6,000 people are part of the new Google Army?
Chad, take the camera off, Leo.
Another round, and then we'll start writing
completely.
I am in the Google Army.
You know, the Nexus Q, if you go to their website, they talk about it's a social device of some sort. You're supposed to hook it up at a party.
Oh, that's BS.
And then
BS.
Everybody's supposed to pick their own music. And it's gonna
people
be
have horrible taste in music.
Q-Cat.
Fact.
It's Q-Cat.
And when you are controlling your party, you're running a party, you don't want everyone coming in mixing up your music.
Exactly.
That's not social. That's annoying.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, it is crazy.
It reminds me of a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Where somebody had to guard
then
the
you just
music.
Won't invite your friends with bad taste in music, but they're your friends, too.
No, everyone has bad taste in music. I think you're right. Your initial
okay, quickly then, we'll run through a couple other. Why does Google keep signing me out of my Google Drive?
Because you keep talking crap about the products.
Yeah, they're listening.
We've been banned from Apple. Now
push the button. Push the button.
There goes the free lunches.
Dump them out. You have exceeded parameters. You are no longer a member of the Google Army.
Yeah, what story did you like best?
Samsung.
This week?
Samsung wins in court because the judge, this is in Great Britain, says, "No, don't worry. Samsung's not cool enough to steal anything from Apple. You win." Did you see that, John?
That is very funny.
That is,
there's actually some truth to it.
It was over one.
Now, which
particular
device is this over? Is this a patent or is it 10.1 design of the case?
Does it slide to lock?
Let me look real quickly. This is from Beta News, which, by the way, now new owners of Dig.
Right.
UK judge Colin Burse confirms what Apple fans have claimed for years. Samsung isn't cool enough to copy the trendy fruit logo company. The Samsung Galaxy Tab family of tablets do not imitate the iPad because, quote, they're not cool enough and do not have the same understated and extreme simplicity possessed by the Apple design.
That's the most subjective piece of crap I've ever heard.
He's a judge. He can say anything he wants.
Yeah, well, bully for him.
Do you ever shoot photos with this thing? It just wraps off as many as you can.
It's very fast.
Yeah, as fast as I've ever seen.
It's a crappy camera, but it's fast.
Yes, it's very crappy.
It's a 5 megapixel. I don't understand why they went backwards. The Samsungs are all 8 megapixels.
It's not the number of pixels.
No, in this case it is, believe me.
Samsung stores. Did you see the store that they opened?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Why?
Well, it looks so much like an Apple store.
I'm telling you, this is the big trend.
It goes.
You're going to start seeing
all
more
retail will look the same soon.
It was a pretty big rip-off.
They have
the
enough
store.
Products that they can do this. Samsung does.
Google's going to pay a $22.5 million fine. Remember the Google thing on the iPhone?
Where they
hacked Safari so that they could have a like button for a cert plus
button?
Yeah,
wasn't that funny?
So the FTC's fined him.
Yeah, well.
But $22.5 million for Google
five hours.
I still think it was a heavy
hours.
Fine.
5 hours?
5 hours.
Yeah, but it was a heavy fine anyway. I think they shouldn't have. What were they fined? So what?
Hadn't they just signed all of these privacy policy and it was sort of like.
I can tell you, I argued strongly that this was a so what. And I went into a buzzsaw.
By
who? I'm not going to do it again. Our fine audience.
Well, the audience
who says,
they're,
Leo, you don't get it. You don't understand privacy.
There are a bunch of maniacs in the chat room.
John
C. They're maniacs. Chat rooms are all maniacs.
We love them. We love
them. FTC has charged Google of tricking the Safari browser into accepting an advertising cookie. Now, my argument, all right, I'm going to say it again. My argument was that Apple was acting anti-competitively because Apple had Do Not Track turned on by default, blocked these cookies. Actually, it's not Do Not Track. It's third-party cookies, blocked them by default without asking the user or giving you a setting. And
well, that's
Google
very
was,
pro-consumer.
Well, that's
like
Apple.
And anti-Google at the same time.
Well, that's the thing. I think, you can make an argument it's pro-consumer, which Apple did. You can also make the argument that Apple wanted to keep all your information to itself ad network.
Oh, they'll screw Google any chance they get.
Right. So
they'll all screw each other any chance they get because that's how they make money.
Right.
By screwing each other.
And us.
And sometimes getting us to pay for things that we
By the way,
don't
that's
really
the
need.
Largest fine ever imposed by the FTC on a single company.
Well, that's inflation for you.
And I want to remind the chat room that if anybody brings up the gateway stores, I do discuss this in my columns about the retail. So
yeah.
I cover it.
That's like Microsoft. I was thinking about it earlier. It's like Microsoft announcing the tablet in 2002. Gateway went with the store in 2000.
Yeah, but the gateway stores were terrible.
I mean, they were fine when they're out in the middle of nowhere. People couldn't get computers that are called country stores. But when they actually, when you saw one close up, it was too much like a Hudson dealership. It had no.
I remember the Hudson. That was a great car.
No idea what you're talking about.
A Hudson? What are you talking about? A Hudson dealership? You don't even remember the Hudson.
I actually do remember the Hudson.
What? An old one in the garage?
No,
what?
No. The Hudson during the early days of drag racing was one of the hottest cars you could race as a stock car because they stated the horsepower wrong. So the things.
Oh, that's funny. So it got through even though
it was.
They were keeping those things going for a long time.
You know, this is going to be our last story, story six, and I think is the response to, okay, so the FTC fines Google for this privacy invasion. This is minor compared to the fact that the cell phone companies are selling your personal information to law enforcement.
Oh, they're
right?
Not selling it.
Yeah,
they are selling
not,
it.
This is interesting.
Oh, wait a minute, Jolie O'Dell. I beg to differ. Okay. AT&T has 100 full-time employees. They charge several dollars for each of these pen warrants.
Yes.
Okay. They make a lot of money. This is
they
big
make
business.
Some money. This is not. No. This is a drop in the bucket if you're AT&T.
1,500 data requests on an average day for Sprint.
Okay, we skipped the lead. So.
Please.
Law enforcement agencies are requesting at record rates cell phone data from the carriers.
1.3
well, that's
million.
Because there's more cell phone data than ever before, and this is information that they're not requesting from other sources.
But understand the backstory of this is these are warrantless searches. So there are some things that if it's content, federal law requires a warrant. But it's not your location, the information about who you're sending email to, things like that are not deemed content. So the law enforcement...
Isn't that state by state? Because I know, didn't a federal judge decide that cops, without a warrant, all they were allowed to take is your own phone number from your phone? That was a whole case, and it's still very much up for grabs. Like, what does it mean that a cop can search your phone?
That's
what kind
not
of
how it
stuff
was
can
when
they
I was
get?
Watching Law & Order.
This is, I don't know if it's state by state. This is being investigated at the national level. Ed Markey has asked for reports from all the carriers responding to an article in the New York Times in April about this increased use of cell phone tracking and got letters from all of them with stunning information. I mean, this is a huge amount. AT&T responds to 700 requests a day with about 230 of them. Quote, emergencies that do not require court orders or subpoenas.
Okay, but let's just, so that's $1,400 bucks a day that they're making if they charge a buck or two.
Well, I don't know how much they charge. It is not an insignificant
peanuts.
Amount of money.
But it's like, not a profit
well,
center.
Beside the point.
They're not making
they
money. They're not
requesting
running a racket.
This much.
Like, that's, yeah, bottom line.
I disagree
right.
there as well, because like I said, I think that, you know, instead of coming and knocking on your door and asking your neighbors what you're doing, this is how they're gathering information about people who may or may not
be doing
the
right thing.
And then
they knock on your door
and
shoot up the place and find out it's the wrong address.
Who the heck knows? Well, they won't if you were using your cell phone.
The real issue is it a fishing expedition or is this in pursuit of a specific crime and a specific event?
I think it's efficient police work. Because if, you know, look
efficient
at Oakland.
Or
Oakland
fishing.
Well,
a fishing police
okay,
work.
Okay, so here's an example. Oakland has three cops. For property crimes. There are 1,500 property crimes reported every year. So how can they best use their resources? To Jolie's point, are they going to go knock on the doors? Or are they going to call the cell phone company and say, okay, give us all you can?
Well, let me ask you this. So one of the kinds of requests companies can make is what's called a tower dump. Data, all the data, including names of everybody who used that tower during a period of time.
You get a lot of... what do they call it?
How do you feel about that? Hundreds or thousands of names in that
dump.
These
are the risks associated with using technology. If you don't like it, you really have to set up your own cell network. And you have to run your own servers. And you have to be much more careful. Because
when you regulate law enforcement, which is out of control. No, or you tell law enforcement, knock it off.
Oh, come on.
That's out of control.
I don't create standards that everyone agrees on. And these are the rules. And this is what you know. And yes, we've watched enough Law & Order that we know that when we use our fast track and we go on the Bay Bridge, that the cops can find that. That's we're trackable.
I think
it all goes back to Law & Order for me.
Yeah, apparently.
I think it's...
I mean, you know they took it off the air,
it's
right?
It's very risky. It's very risky to wash your hands of this and say, hey, you know what? You're carrying a cell phone. It's... Let the law enforcement have whatever they want. I think we need to stand up as American citizens and say, that's unlawful search and seizure. It's unconstitutional. You got to knock it off.
Well, so what would you say? They need a warrant?
It is, by the way. It is, by the way.
We don't have those standards yet. And part of this discussion that we're having and that the judges are deciding is creating those standards. standards. So, of course, like, so police shouldn't be able to look through your phone whenever they want for any reason at all. But I think I give them a little bit more credit, a smidge more credit than you do.
Just let's get rid of the Patriot Act and we'll be fine.
There you go.
Oh, but I guess this recent administration, they put it back in.
Huh? Oh, no, we can't talk politics. So you say it has to be...
I just think that you this has to be... There's no judicial oversight. Mm-hmm. Basically, you may say there's no money in it, but it's an unholy nexus between the phone companies, which do, in fact, make money on this. Maybe it's not a lot, but they still make money on it. And law enforcement. Nobody's watching out over this. I hope that this... I think everybody needs to understand that this is going on. And it doesn't mean throw away your cell phone. It means it call for reforms.
Yeah.
And unless you're deeply cynical, as John C. Dvorak is... And say, you're all screwed anyway.
Yes.
And actually, Jolie's pretty cynical, too.
I'm not politicized about it. It just feels like the Wild West.
What do you think about this whole Dish thing, by the way?
Isn't this great?
Wow.
But also,
speaking of Wild
the
West.
Other one, the
and
DirecTV.
Everyone who's like under DirecTV. The age of 30 is like, what are you guys talking about? Because we don't use this
internet,
crap
man.
Anymore. Exactly. I didn't know that there was any problem until some comedian made a joke about it on Twitter.
Well,
seriously.
Here's
Will Wheaton.
It's not on the internet because DirecTV... Pulled the Comedy Central and all this other stuff, and then they pulled it off the internet.
Yeah, they said, it's still on the internet.
Okay, so the deal
depends
is
on your definition of the internet.
Torrenting is the future of the internet.
So Viacom, Dish, DirecTV having a war over how much the satellite companies are going to pay Viacom for their.
This happens all the time.
Yeah.
And I should
point
out, by the way, that the satellite company just passes it along to consumers.
Right.
It's not like that's out of their pocket.
So Viacom pulls all the stuff off of DirecTV. DirecTV puts up a banner that says Viacom is the bad guy and is taking this off.
I love those crawlers.
Do you remember Winter Mitchell from Tech TV? She had this thing on Facebook that said, and it was a picture of all the crawlers that were trying to compete. And she said, it's like watching Mom and Dad fight.
I just want my Comedy
Central. The Dish one was my favorite since I have the Dish. It says, AMC is we're dropping AMC because nobody watches it.
What?
I say, what? Are you kidding me?
Wow. It's getting ugly.
Wow.
Meanwhile,
Breaking Bad is on AMC tonight, and I think a few people might watch that.
Yes, I think it's going to be.
Right. So this interesting difference.
Now, by the way, that's the timing of this nobody watches it.
Right.
It's the biggest show of the year debuts its fifth season tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
So AMC says, we're just going to put it on our site. Come on over and watch.
Good.
Meanwhile, Comedy Central, not available online because if we can't show
How
it to
stupid
you,
is that?
That is crazy.
Thunder Redstone is a real son of a bitch.
And I have to tell you that they may say it's about fees, but really this is a dispute over how much these cable channels can put on the internet versus how much is on DirecTV.
Right.
And DirecTV is not happy with the fact that Comedy Central puts so much content on the internet.
Right.
That's really what this fight is all about. And for your cord cutter, you should pay close attention to this because that's what it comes down to. Truth is, content creators want to deliver it direct to you.
Yeah.
That's in their interest.
They don't care the conduit.
It's the people like the cable companies and the satellite companies who say, no, we want to be the gatekeeper of all this content. We want it to come through us. If it doesn't come through us, it doesn't go on the internet. And that's why I don't get Comedy Central pulling this off the internet. I think AMC is right. Put it on the internet. Fine. You know, go ahead, DirecTV. Pull us off. This will just promote cord cutting.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, Aereo gets to continue.
Who?
Aereo.
What?
Yeah, Aereo.
I thought they were out of business.
No, they get to continue.
Oh, no, they get to continue.
They get to continue while the lawsuit continues.
Oh, I thought they were like folding up the shop.
No, they're happy campers.
So Aereo is a very strange startup in New York City where...
Barry Diller?
Yeah.
Well,
where they have little antennas everywhere, right? How does this work? It's very strange.
So they take over the air feeds, right?
Yeah. And each individual user has their own antenna.
Their own physical
antenna.
A little
bitty one.
Then they can access that. It's such a weird... It makes me feel like there's some weird font.
I wrote a column about this. You can read it. It's in one of the PC Mag or Market Watch. I can never remember.
So I thought they were out of business. So they want to stay.
And just to continue for people who don't know what it is, and then you can access that over-the-air antenna-fed content via the internet anywhere.
By your little tiny antenna.
Yeah, because you own the antenna.
Right.
It makes logical sense to me. All it is a long wire.
Yeah.
There's no rule against,
little
like,
tubes.
Do you have your antenna on the, you know, up the roof? You run a wire.
So
it's maybe 30 feet.
So
what's it between 30 feet and 2,500 miles?
Exactly.
Is there a difference? I don't think so.
Federal judge rejects the broadcaster's request. There's a stay. Aereo continues. Barry Diller says, we're going to be in every city in the United States soon.
Right now, you can only get an account if you're in New York.
And it's only over the air, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that cable cutters need.
That's just the beginning of the end.
No, but that's all we need. We can get everything else on the internet. If we just get the live, over-the-air broadcast, we're done, right?
makes sense.
Well, I think those are the reasons that you would leave your house, though.
You want go to a sports bar. You want the Academy Awards. You don't want the Academy Awards? No, you look like an Oscar fan. Oh, no. I forgot. You're a beautiful young woman in an old man's body.
Oh, yes.
No, that's John. I'm sorry. You're an old man in a beautiful young woman.
You nailed it, Leo. That is me.
I want to thank John D. Dvorak, the beautiful young woman in an old man's body.
I like it.
At channeldvorak.com, noagendashow.com. He is everywhere. You got to follow him on the Twitter as well.
I knew there was a reason why you and Victoria Ricagno were such good friends.
Noagendashow.com. Did you mention that? I couldn't hear you because you're making fun of me.
Not agenda?
Noagendashow.com?
Yeah, I mentioned it.
Okay.
Several times.
You did?
Yes.
Well, I'm an old man.
Yes, I know.
I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
What was it again?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Becky Worley is a jock in a beautiful woman's body. You don't play rugby anymore, though.
The parenting is my full-time sport, and it is full contact.
You know, I think those small children probably much like rugby football.
Yes, they are. They injure me regularly.
It's great to see you. Catch her on Yahoo.
Yep. Upgrade your life.
Upgrade your life on GMA from time to time as like the housewife? Is that what you're playing now?
I test stuff, you know, caffeinated pants.
You're still doing that.
Snake repellent. Last week I ate 17 bowls of cereal in one morning. Oh, my God.
What?
I flew to LA and had a brow makeover.
Wait a minute.
They've talked about bee sting facials they want me to test. I'm like...
17? What kind of cereal?
Oh, it was the knockoff cereals.
Did you take
cereals?
The total challenge?
No, you know all the knockoff cereals?
Yeah.
So they're, you know, in the bags, they're 50% cheaper than your Cheerios or your Fruit Loops or what have you. Yeah, right. Like dog food.
Yeah.
And so how do they taste? What's the comparison? I became a Fruit Loop connoisseur in one morning.
So?
Fruit Loops, gotta buy brand name. Honey Nut Cheerios, absolutely the off-brands are great. Raisin Bran, I found indistinguishable from the off-brand.
News you can use week on Twitter.
I'm in the wrong line of work, I swear to God.
Would you eat 17 bowls of cereal?
If I could get paid for
what
it?
What a story.
Absolutely. We're going to talk.
Jolie Odell, VentureBeat.com, and you are also on the Twitter as Jolie Odell.
Yes, I am. She's fabulous. She's such a keeper.
Uh-oh.
Well, thank you.
Here we go.
I think you're fabulous.
This is good. No, but you know what? You fight with her. I like it. It's really good.
And when we get John and her in the same room, it's like I feel like I'm in crossfire. Thank you for being here. We do the show every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2200 UTC on twit.tv. But, you know, on demand, always available. We don't restrict this. We don't have any deals with cable companies or satellite companies ever for that very reason, because we think the Internet is a pretty darn good way of transmitting information. By the way, Captain Crunch. Brand name or off brand?
I didn't taste that one. I'm getting the sugar cereals. They have like 50% more sugar, and it took the fruitiness out of the loops. It's too sweet.
Another twit. It's in the hands. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I'm a limp rag. I don't know what to say. Oh, one more thing. I almost forgot. Tomorrow, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC, it's Father Robert Ballasser. And this week in Enterprise Tech, a brand new show on Twit.
Yeah, I'm Father Robert Ballasser, the host of one of the newest shows on the Twit Network, TWiET, This Week in Enterprise Tech. A lot of people have asked me, what exactly does Enterprise Tech cover? Well, I could tell you, but I'd rather show you.
This is the IOSA, Rugged Portable.
And how many combinations are in IPv6?
If I remember correctly, I think it's about 340 undecillion.
Siebert, take me up. Now, we're going to do a full review on the Netgear 3200 ReggieNAS, which is the monster array, the 12-bay array. So stay tabbed for This Week in Enterprise Tech, every Monday at noon PST. Missing it would be a sin.